The views expressed on the previous programs are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. And
see you in Buffalo, Gildy.
The Beasley Broadcast Group,
its Gildy.
Advertisers or agencies.
Sports Fanatic Radio, WQAM.
You, I be Madonna's baby. Now, I traveled back from the future using my Samsung time machine to tell y'all to leave my mama alone. She may have stole me away from my daddy, but she done be taking good care of me for the last 30 years. I got this here solid gold Dagmar bra to prove it. And don't you be making fun of the flakes in my lips. I got me two separate ones, cause I'm Jewish too. Now you listen to me. I had it up to here. But y'all saying wealthy, spoiled, and whiny celebrities ain't got no business raising a child. Up to here. Oh, in case you're wondering, W, he's still being the federal pet. Now he may be old, but the stem cell treatments keep his old ass alive. And speaking of stem cells, Rush, he done died of syphilis. Too many trips to the Dominican Republic.
Come on, man. Let's get going.
I ain't finished yet. That for your information is Britney's baby.
If you have to tell him that.
Who cares?
Let's go. I got to get Mom's medication. Her ankles are swelling
again. I hate thinking about your mom. That bitch smells like Locatel.
Well, she liked that macaroni and cheese.
Okay, let me sign off now. You all listen to what I'm saying now. See you in about 30 years. El Cabon Cabala.
I bet she smells like hell, you know what I'm saying? Whatever hell smells like, I bet you that's what Madonna smells like. You can just tell by looking at her.
I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah. Don't tell me George is out for a third episode.
Yeah, well, obviously the bathroom's open now.
Oh, that's right. He said that he was sitting room only. I'll be damned. Well, anyway, George has got some bowel issues this morning. Not that we have to tell you that, but of course it's more fun to do that. We like to share with the audience. In fact, maybe George will bring you a sack right to your house. Say, hey, take a whiff of this. See how you think I'm doing. Anyway, it's 10:03. That was sure a real fly opener here in Gildy there on the morning show this morning. In fact, every time I heard a little bit of it, he was on it. Pop, 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 pop. What was that all about? Maybe they're trying to like resurrect that show again. Maybe it's the worst team. What do you think?
Huh?
I said, what the hell was Gildy doing? So how was it? Was it open in there? Boy, it must have really smelled bad in that joint this morning. If they had the crowd that you were reporting before.
Oh, in there, yeah, it was brutal. I thought you meant in the studio.
Woo! Bomb attacks on Baghdad markets kill 16. I don't know. I feel like a little bit of a letdown, and I knew this. This is like, you know, after having sex, you know?
No.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the election's over, and excellent results, and all of this, and Democrats won the House and the Senate, and Bush has fired Rumsfeld and all this other stuff, and they're eating crow with a little mouse dirt on it. And now what? You know, now we're in limbo.
Mm-hmm.
Bomb attacks on markets in the predominantly Shiite neighborhoods of Baghdad killed at least 16 people among 38 Iraqis killed or found dead across the country today in the latest outbreak of sectarian violence. Only 38. Wow, that's great. This is just, astonishing. Seven of those were killed when a car bomb detonated outside shops in northern Baghdad's Kahira district as noontime shoppers were gathering. 27 others were injured. 7 cars were destroyed. Around that same time, a suicide bomber, it says here, suicide boomer, maybe he's like a baby boomer suicide bomber, so they like kind of combined it all into one like expression. A suicide boomer plowed his explosives rigged vehicle into the crowds gathered in Mission Commercial Complex for spare parts in Baghdad's downtown Karada district. At least 9 were killed, 27 wounded in that attack. And it just goes on and on and on and on. So now that the ball is in the Democrats' court, it's in their hands. And where are the answers? That's the question. They got any answers? What do you think?
No.
Ba-da-beep, ba-da-boop, ba-da-bop. Now, here's something I'm going to pass along that you ought to be listening to very, very closely, okay? Because
right.
We don't want any dead listeners. We can't afford to be losing any of you guys. A major manufacturer of store. Well, I won't say we don't want any dead listeners. There are probably a few people listening to that we just assume, you know. But, generally speaking, a major manufacturer of store brand acetaminophen recalled 11 million bottles of the pain relieving pills today after discovering that some were contaminated with metal fragments.
Oh, my God.
There were no immediate reports of injuries or illness or ripped kishkis yet, but Perrigo Company said it discovered the metal bits during quality control checks. I never heard of that company. Perrigo? Perrigo?
No.
The recall affects bottles containing various amounts of 500 milligram caplets. Perrigo bills itself as the world's largest manufacturer of store-brand non-prescription drugs. The Allegan, Michigan company didn't disclose the chains for which it manufactures the store-brand acetaminophen. However, Walmart stores CVS, Walgreens, and Costco Wholesale are among the companies that supplies with healthcare products according to the SEC filings. So if they're, and again, it's like a store brand non-prescription painkiller.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very helpful in telling us what, you know, so in other words, like Walgreens has its own store brand of vitamins. Yeah, all these places do. So I'm just passing that along. I'm going to put it over here on the side, and we'll read it again like 50 or 100 times just to make sure you don't wind up ripping your guts out.
Right. Well, I'm glad I'm stocked up.
You're stocked up on painkillers?
Yes, I am. Well,
what about legal
aspirin
one?
Anyway.
Aspirin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's painful, man. Which of these do you care about most? We had 1,773 votes in a poll yesterday. But why didn't you put your family or your children or your dog? Because we didn't feel like it. That's why. Because it didn't. That would be, you know, too obvious. It wouldn't make the point that we were trying to make. What was the point we were trying to make? I forget.
To get a poll on that day.
That's right. To find some crap to put on there and say, hey, here's another poll. We didn't do this one before. In fact, we could do that poll every day. Which of these you care about most? And just put like six different things on there. You know, like the weather, your ass, your mama. Anyway, which do you care about most? My income, 779. Boy, this is a money-grabbing crowd. They ought to take a page from your guys' book. You guys don't care most about money because you don't have any.
Right.
Like to have some. By the way, I did not win the Canadian 649 lotto last night. There were four winners, each one just under $10 million. It was almost $40 million total pot. And if I would have been, see, I'd have been pissed off. I mean, I would have been very happy to take the $10 million, don't get me wrong, and I sure wouldn't be here today. I'd be taking several days off, like for years. But if you're expecting to win $40 million, I mean, I could, you know, like if there were two winners, so $20 million apiece. $20 million tax-free isn't a bad number, even Canadian funds, right?
Right.
But you're expecting, I think I just won $40 million. Then you find out a couple hours later that there's like three other winners, and you won like a little under $10 million. Well, I throw it back.
Sure, I don't want it now.
I throw it back like a fish that's too small. Here, take it back, stick it. Anyway, my income, 779. That's 44%, almost half. My sex life, 360. My health, 285. I hate this poll, just 122, a mere 6.8%. Politics, as Chris Matthews would say, politics, 69. He's just, he annoys the hell out of me. I don't know about you, but I just dislike him intensely.
Chris Matthews?
Yes.
Yeah, he bugs me.
Politics, 69. The National Football League, 65. My faith, 58. The NFL even transcends this heathen crowd's faith. What does that tell you, huh? The National Football League. Don't forget the Dolphins host Kansas City this week, and then they'll show you their true colors, I think. Kansas City's not really that good anyway, are they, Josh? They're like, they're in and out.
They're pretty good, buddy.
Well, excuse me. I thought, what's his name? What's
I'm
the quarterback?
Like 42
I thought he was
points
injured.
On the Dolphins. I'm thinking about
Trent
42.
Green, isn't that their quarterback?
Well, now it's Damon Heward.
No, that's because he's Damon Heward from Notre Dame?
I don't know about that.
Am I thinking of John Heward from 80 years ago? See, there I go with that old stuff again. I don't know. My faith, 58, and Iraq, only 35. Iraq's at the bottom of the pile. They're just, they're burnt out on Iraq. You know, a lot of dead people, a lot of insanity, a lot of lies. 35 is all they got on Iraq. Maybe that's why we got all them soldiers still over there, is because not enough of you people are pissed off and fired up about Iraq. I'll tell you, somebody who's pissed off and fired up about it and arrested again, that's Cindy Sheehan. Boy, she can't catch a break, that poor lady.
You go, girl.
Activist Cindy Sheehan was arrested yesterday as she led about 50 protesters to a White House gate to deliver anti-war petitions she said were signed by 80,000 Americans. The Berkeley, California woman, whose son was killed in Iraq more than 2 years ago, was arrested along with three other women on the sidewalk outside the White House gate, said Lieutenant Scott Fear, a U.S. Park Police spokesman. The only thing we have to fear is Scott. They were charged with interfering with a government function, he said, the function at the junction. Before she was arrested, she joined the protesters in hailing the outcome of the elections and chanting, "Stop the war," outside the gate. Stop the war! Stop the war! What do we want? I don't know. It was taking too long for them to decide whether to accept them or not, so we just delivered them to them, said Sheehan, who waited about 15 minutes with other protesters before tossing the petitions over the fence. Oh, you can't be doing that. Mm. Don't be tossing over the fence. The petitions opposed use of military force to resolve the dispute over Iran's nuclear program. She and 49 other grieving families met with Bush about 2 months after her son died, before reports of faulty pre-war intelligence surfaced and caused her to speak out. She's tried repeatedly to speak with the president again, including that 26-day vigil last year outside Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. You know Crawford, Texas?
Mm-hmm.
You know that clan that hangs out there, that clan with a K? Wednesday's protest came as Republicans lost control of the House and the White House and the Senate, and the White House announced resignation of Airman Gering Rumsfeld. He's being offered as a sacrificial lamb, Sheehan said. Big fat lamb, if you ask me. Donnie Rumsfeld. Fat, phony lamb. But nevertheless, she's got a good point. Well, you go. You keep hanging it, honey. You keep hanging in there. She's got a big pair. I'll tell you who else has got a big pair is that bulldog Donna Shalaleo at the UM. She's apologizing again. You see that, Josh? She's apologizing for the UM fans' behavior. Why don't they just stop with that whole university? Shut it down. Shut that baby down. Not just the football program. Shut the whole campus down. Stop with all the pretense there being an institute of any kind of learning, much less higher. George says the only kind of higher is when he drops off some goods.
Sorry?
I'm just tired of that whole thing, that whole deal over there. It makes me nauseous. 988 votes on today's poll. How satisfied are you with the election results? Another election poll? Jesus, K. Christ, when are you going to get over that? When I'm good and ready. How's that? When I'm ready. We got to, bask in the sunshine and the glory of it, man. Isn't that what they say? After you win an election, you bask in the glory of it for a little while.
Baskin Robin.
You're looking for glory holes.
988 votes already. That means by the time we come back from the break, we're going to be over 1,000 already. Aren't you pleased as punch? I'm ecstatic, 315. I'm happy, 295. I'm squeezing myself, 232. I still don't care, 74. Not happy, 47. Suicidal, 16. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Don't let us stop you, okay? Have a good time. And I hate this poll. Only 9, solamente 9, 0.9%.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is
what was Gelly doing on there today, for Christ's sake?
UAM.
We're hopping in the time machine. Won't you come along and dream?
No.
Here's a golden message from WQAM. Right now.
Come and listen to a story about a preacher named Ted, accused of taking meth and having gay sex. And just when you thought he was a super righteous dude, out came some stories that sounded pretty crude. Bad things, that is. Gay escort. Snorting meth. Well, the first thing you know, old Ted's a hypocrite. Banning gay love while he was loving it. They said beg forgiveness and drop to your knees. Then cry, say you sinned, and ignore hypocrisy.
It's 10:18 at 5:60. So Joe Bell and what's his name? Gorge are going to gorge this afternoon. They're going to lunch together. Isn't that sweet?
Or something?
I think you ought to have Kenny Walker go along with you guys, and two of you could explain to him. Well, you could explain to him right in front of Joe that they're trying to kill off that show,
mm-hmm.
and doing a hell of a job, if you ask me. Why in God's name? And you say, well, it's hockey season, isn't it? Yeah, that's the point. That's exactly the point. Nobody cares in South Florida about the Panthers,
well,
about hockey
wrong.
In general. They couldn't name you like 5 players on that team if you stuck a gun up there.
Rectum.
Butt ass. So, I'm just thinking out loud. It's not my purview. It's not for me to say. Remember Johnny Mattress, the African Queen? It's not for me to say. I bet you don't have that.
Let's see.
On Columbia Records, baby, it's not for me to say. Chances are Johnny Mattress, the African Queen. But nevertheless, she could really belt out 18th of an ounce of sound, that girl.
Well, I don't have that.
What is it?
I don't have the song you're talking about, unfortunately.
I don't know what this is. We got 1,023 votes on the pool. And here's Miss Mathis right now.
I must be going.
Yeah, get her off of my show. Put her on with Gildy in the morning show. In the wake of last month's UMFIU brawl, another embarrassing situation, writes Barry Jackass at the Orange Bowl, has prompted another apology from U of M president that dyke Donna Shalaleo. Quarterback Kyle Wright's father, Ken, said Shalaleo called on Monday to apologize after he was subjected to obscenity-laced insults directed toward Kyle and other players after Saturday's loss to Virginia Tech. Kyle Wright revealed yesterday that fans actually spat on Miami players as they walked through the end zone tunnel after the game, which Wright said was prompted his father to yell at the perpetrators. Kyle said he wasn't spat on. How do you like that? They were spitting on their own players because they had the audacity to lose another game. You see, what did I tell you about that whole UM program, man? It is the biggest bunch of derelicts and slime balls in the history. You can't spell scum without UM, bag. No matter what happens on the field, I don't think that warrants fans spitting on you, Kyle Wright said. Getting spit on and having recruits having beer spilled on them is not acceptable. I think True Canes fans will absolutely agree. And, of course, we know how many True Canes fans there really are.
About 30, man.
Ken Wright, speaking from his California home yesterday, said Shalaleo called him and expressed her regret and apologized for the actions of a small percentage of Miami fans, real a-holes. He added he was disappointed in the Orange Bowl security and didn't necessarily like how UM handled the incident. Orange Bowl stadium manager Greg Wright said yesterday he was unaware anything happened. Greg Wright, he was probably busy driving at Western Fair. Greg Wright Jr., who sure looks better than the old man. I'm not going to stand for it, Ken Wright said out of out-of-line fans. I don't go there to protect my son. I've been to many, many college games. I've never seen or heard anything like that. Well, I guess he's never been to the OB before then. It's a toilet. And what do you do in a toilet? You spit in it, right?
Well, that's what
thing goes on, but hanging over a rail, spewing obscenities at kids, pouring beer and spitting on them when their family is there. I'll quote President Shalala. He said, it's not acceptable. It's unacceptable, said Senator Anthony Walschlager. It's disheartening to see some of your home fans doing that. For the most part, they're good fans, but a few bad apples spoil the bunch. A few bad apples, my ass. The fans who yelled, go back to California, mixed with obscenities, don't even deserve to be commented on, Cal Wright said. How do you like that? More crap at UM. I'm telling you, they ought to shut that baby down. Shut it down right now, like the Beach Boys said. Remember Shut It Down?
Mm-hmm.
Shut Down. Is that the name of the song, Shut It Down, or Shut Down? Shut It Down. Shut Down. See, I'm stalling for it. It's on Capitol Records, Beach Boys.
Nice job stalling.
Yeah, we're stalling. Okay, that's enough.
Shut Down is a...
I know what it's called. Just relax. I know my Beach Boys crap mystery. You're talking to a Beach Boys expert in spite of the fact that you want to get to that whole Marvin Gaye thing again.
Well,
now that we got Ben Harper, who the hell needs Marvin's Gaye anyway?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's dead. Won't see him no more.
Yeah, that's right. Who needs Marvin
Gaye?
Anyhow, that we got Ben Harper around. Anyway, here's they're at it again, and we're passing this along as another pubic service to your close personal friends at QAM. I'm going to fart so loud here in a second that it's going to blow the whole window out.
Well, I'll stand up and turn around.
Too late. Too late. I buried it in the seat. I buried it. Too bad there's no charcoal in the seat. Like on a plane.
Charcoal
God, that
filter.
Was a ripper from the Grim Ripper. Grim Rimmer. BSO deputies will conduct DUI saturation patrols tomorrow, Friday, November 10. Don't say we didn't warn you. From approximately 8:30 at night till 5 a.m. the following morning, Saturday morning, in the areas of Deerfield Beach, Pompano Beach, and Oakland Park, and then on Saturday, November 11th, from approximately 8:30 p.m. to 5 a.m. the following morning in areas of unincorporated Central Broward County, Pompano Beach, and Oakland Park. Impaired drivers will be identified and DUI laws will be actively enforced. This information is published in compliance with a Supreme Court ruling mandating prior announcement of selective enforcement activities. Got it? Tomorrow night, and then Friday night, Saturday night, whatever it is. 8:30 tonight till 5 a.m. I'll put that over here in my pile and read it 50 million times. We have 754 friends on our MySpace page. Well, I'm proud of that, and Josh says, that's a miracle. Although Josh gave me some very enlightening and encouraging news this morning. Now, can we put that on the air, or would that be bad for the sports people?
Why not? What's wrong with that?
Josh said that there's a big spike in listenership. I know a lot of people listen online on neilrogers.com, which, of course, is a why not. But evidently there are many, many, well, what, about 10?
There's a big spike.
There's a big spike in there. He didn't want to give me a number because it would be embarrassing. Compared to how many listen on neilrogers.com. But nevertheless, on QAM.com, there's a lot of big spike in midday. So even though it's a sports station and a sports website, how do you like that, Clarence? Put that in your pipe and smoke it, you little quizzling, you little simpleton.
You fairy.
Yeah. So anyway, what led me to that? Why did I mention that? Oh, the fact that we got that 754 on my friends, my space friends. We got a lot of space friends. 1,040 votes on the poll. How do you like that, Mr. Rodriguez? And, of course, that's because George yesterday did not screw up, and he thought he better dash and do that again. He changed that poll religiously, man, like it was something important, like I really cared about it.
Like
I did not. I would have much rather had two, three grand on the line at Woodbine, which I did not, but I got most of my money back. Left there almost even yesterday. It's pretty good. Not too bad. Didn't win a lotto last night. I'm down in the dumps about that. Boy, that would have been nice to win. Of course, if I'd have won it, there would have been five winners, so only about a little over $8 million apiece. Who the hell wants a lousy $8 million, huh? I'd have been gone so fast. You can tell Joe that, by the way, that, you know, I do play the lotto twice a week here, the 649.
Mm-hmm.
And also tell him he can divest himself of these fantasies he's having about my stopping in and visiting the station next time I'm down there. Forget about it, Joe, okay? In the words of a very, very famous philosopher.
Forget about it.
Right. Russian authorities have refused to license the Borat comedy film that's taking U.S. box offices by storm, and George says it's just as funny as getting hit in the head with an apple pie.
Maybe even more so.
By storm over fear would offend audiences here, the Moscow Times daily reported, meaning here, meaning there.
Mm-hmm.
The film contains material that some viewers may consider offensive to certain nationalities and religions, the paper quoted.
Yeah, all of
Yuri
them.
Vayushkov, head of the agency that licenses films for theater distribution in the Russian, whatever, in Russia. If the ban is upheld, the movie Borat Cultural Leanings of America to make, for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan will be one of the first non-pornographic films banned in Russia since the breakup of the Soviet Union, eh? The film starring English comedian Sacha Baron Cohen is about a fictional, misogynistic, wife-beating Kazakh journalist who depicts Kazakhstan as a country. I think Nick Antropov of the Leafs is from Kazakhstan. Who depicts Kazakhstan as a country where people are addicted to horse urine and are fond of rape, incest, and shooting dogs. They were doing okay until we got to the dog part. The movie had been scheduled to open in 300 theaters nationwide in Russia on November 30th.
About 30, man.
And the distributor 20th Century Fox in Russia can still appeal against the Federal Culture and Cinematography Agency's refusal to grant the license. How do you like that? A bunch of uptight Ruskies. I bet you Josh's girlfriend, his Russian girlfriend's not too happy about that either.
I'll have to talk to her about it.
Now, have you seen the movie yet or what?
No, I'm dying to see it.
Well, if you don't, you will be. And I'm really very, I want to apologize publicly to George for the fact that Amazon.com is so slow. Because if you would have just reminded me, you should order the expedited, you'd have it already.
Listen,
you'd have it now.
It's all right.
You would have already seen it 2-3 times there.
No sweat.
Match point.
Don't even worry about it.
Starring Jonathan Rhys-Meyers and, of course, the lovely, whatever her name is, Scarlett Johansson.
I'll just savor the moment.
I guarantee you will. 10:27 at QM. What's that schedule look like? It looks like the Mad Dog at 2, the Power Hour with Hank and the Mad Dog together if we can squeeze them both in the studio. Humper 5-7 solo. Panthers lost in the shootout last night. I saw that, eh? Not too good. 7 o'clock, we got Hurricane Hotline at GameWorks at the Shops at Sunset Place. College Tailgate presented by FedEx Orange Bowl, 9-10. Wow. And then Eddie K at 10 tonight.
The biggest
what was Zeldy
doing
on that morning show? Have a talking with Kenny there and tell him, boy, that sound like the play.
But.
Rectum.
Zeldy. Zeldy. Talking on a court show.
No.
Trying to be macho. Your voice sounds just like a 7-year-old girl.
Yes.
A little sports whole shill.
Absolutely.
What else are you there for? Gildy, Gildy, talking like a baby who needs a little training. Why can't you understand? You don't sound like a man. Remove the rubber bands. That joke, your scrotum, Gildy. Geldy, Geldy, your lucky management don't care. Cause Geldy, you don't belong there on the air. And Geldy, the sports can't wait till your voice cracks. Cause anyone who sounds like that should find another job.
Uh-huh.
And they should only take you back when both your BBs drop. Oh, Geldy, Geldy, when you gonna grow up? You make us wanna throw up. You silly squeaky fool, go to broadcasting school. Your free pubescent voice makes you sound like a putz. You're a putz. You're a putz.
Gelly, who was on the morning show much too long this morning, I have no idea when he came in there or what it was all about. It must be another Clarence mandated thing, because we were told by a little bird on the wall yesterday that Clarence is the one pulling all the strings on the morning show, which is why they had a .9 in September. You better have a little chat with Kenny Walker again and tell him if he wants any chance to succeed in there, he better butch up a lot. You know what I mean? He better come in with an Uzi
whatever
on Monday.
I've said what I had to say about it.
And he can't do nothing anyway.
So there's no point me talking to him anymore.
Well, look, he's a good guy, and he's got a wife and a family to support, and you ought to go in there and say, listen to me. Don't listen to that Vo Camper, that big toad, and certainly don't listen to Clarence, that little weasel, that sports nerd who sits home sniffing jockstraps all night. God. Democratic Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack is expected to officially launch his 2008 presidential campaign today by filing documents with the FEC, the Federal Elections Commission. Tom Vilsack, what do you think? He's got a shot? His decision comes after months of speculation that he would run and 2 days after his fellow Democrats scored those overwhelming victories in state and national elections. Vilsack is the first Democrat to make a formal declaration for the presidency, although a number of veteran-owned candidates are presumed to be running. We can only pray, thanks God. Likewise, Republican Duncan Hunter of California is the only announced candidate on the Republican side. There you go, Duncan Hunter against Tom Vilsack. Wow, can you see a tremendous outpouring for that?
Okay.
Americans sent a clear message on Tuesday, Vilsack said in a statement obtained by the AP that's being released today. They want leaders who share their values, understand their needs, and respect their intelligence. That's what I've done as governor of Iowa, and that's what I intend to do as president. Vilsack said he's filing documents with the FEC establishing the Tom Vilsack for President Committee. You know what it sounds like to me? A sack of
crap.
Yeah. Mm. A vil sack of crap. He plans a multi-state tour on November 30th.
Not 30, man.
Before we announce his intentions. The first stop will be in his hometown of Mount Pleasant, where he served as mayor, in which he represented in the Iowa Senate before being elected governor in 1998. Iowa. I don't know. Iowa's just not one of those states that really crosses my mind very often. I don't know why. I know it's right next to Nebraska there, right across from Omaha.
Yep.
I like Omaha. I've told you that many times.
Yes, you have.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, I don't think much about Iowa either.
Never even crosses my
mind. Now,
once in a while, I think of Tom Harkin, the outspoken, foul-mouthed Democratic senator from Iowa. He's a good guy. Vilsack said he would also announce his candidacy in New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, Nevada, and South Carolina. He was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the other states are all important early tests of strength in the nominating process. I couldn't be more honored that my wife, Christy, and our sons, Doug and Jess, are committed to joining my effort. What kind of a name is that for a guy? Jess. So you got two sons?
Jess.
Are committed to join my effort to offer the people of America the Democratic Party. Well, okay, good. You gave us an offer that we could refuse. No thanks, Tom. Have a good luck. Good luck to you, sweetheart. Just go back to Iowa and stay there. Get out in the cornfields, okay? Get out of our face. You know we're going to have over 1,100 votes by 11 o'clock. 11 at 11, man. That is a real natural. It's enough to make you want to, like, take the rest of the day off. Play music all day. Play Johnny Mathis tunes.
Oh, boy.
One of University of Central Florida's oldest fraternities has been disbanded by its national headquarters. I don't know about you, but I am so sick and tired of this so-called hazing crap. What is it all about?
Gay.
What's it
gay.
All about, Alfie? Bunch of overgrown children. One of University of Central Florida's oldest fraternities has been disbanded by its national headquarters following allegations of hazing involving heavy drinking and pledges wearing women's underwear. See there, George had his
gay.
He had his thumb on.
Told you.
Always involves, you know, hanky spanky. Every
get their
single
pants
time.
Off somehow. Get them naked.
Get their pants off. Get their
private
flying
somehow.
In the wind.
Yeah.
The Sigma Alpha Epsilon chapter will be closed immediately, said Brandon Weghorst, spokesman for the Evanston, Illinois-based fraternity. Sigma Alpha Epsilon. Our board does not feel it's worth the effort to rehabilitate the group, Weghorst said yesterday. He said as many as two-thirds of the chapter's approximately 90 members may have been involved. Two-thirds. Campus police and administrators are investigating the October 26th incident as possible hazing. A caller had notified police of screaming, sobbing, and moaning coming from the house, maybe early in the morning, according to police reports. Moaning. Police said they found pledges crawling on their hands and knees, wearing items such as diapers and women's underwear. Three men were taken to a hospital, and the house smelled of beer, urine, and vomit. Vomit! The chapter, after school since the university opened in 1968, was previously suspended for a year in 2003 for suspected hazing. Telephone messages left this morning for chapter president Drew Dalton and university officials were not immediately returned to the ANP. How do you like that, huh? At the University of Central Florida, UCF. Screaming, sobbing, and moaning. Maybe Miss Folia was knocking on the door, huh? Maybe she wormed her way in there, so to speak. That could be it.
That's
he likes
possible.
To cause a little bit of screaming, gnashing, and moaning, mostly the moaning part.
Maybe he brought the urine.
Well, he's a real peer.
Can't say the other word anymore.
No,
right?
We sure can't. We'll get joist if we say the other one.
Yeah.
By the way, when you have lunch with Joe today, tell him we're sick and tired of that crap.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I would just stand up at the table and just kind of like bend over and like right that, like that. You don't have to say anything about it. Just as a simple
message. Don't say anything. Just do it.
Yeah, that's right. Just do it. I better play that clip from the difference here. We got 1089 on the poll, baby. 1,089 votes. How satisfied? How ecstatic? How pleased are you with the election results from whatever it was Tuesday? I'm ecstatic. 354. Happy. 327. I'm squeezing myself, 251. You better stop right now. I still don't care, 79. Not happy, 48. Suicidal, 18. So that's like almost 6% of our audience. Must be a bunch of closet right-wing pansies. And I hate this poll. Only 12, 1.1%. Well, 1-1. Well, I sure hope that Geldy can push some of our day parts up to a 1-1 again. He specialized in those small numbers when he was doing that 2-4 slot. He talked a good game, but he sure... In fact, Mo got it down to a 1 point.
Oh.
And then Geldy kind of like held Mo's number right there. You know, he held it. Experience the difference at Mercedes-Benz of Pompano. And don't forget, at Mercedes-Benz of Pompano, it doesn't matter what time of the month you purchase a vehicle, because at the beginning of the month, the middle of the month, the end of the month, whenever it is, you always get the best deal. Whether it's one of the brand-new 2007 Mercedes-Benz luxury sedans, the 2007 GL class, the first Mercedes-Benz full-size SUV, or there are a large selection of certified pre-owned cars, they give you spectacular deals. And when you choose Mercedes-Benz of Pompano, you'll have over 200 employees dedicated to providing incomparable service for you, too, offering you express lube, courtesy vehicles, and complimentary car wash. Make an appointment through the Business Development Center, and don't forget you can even earn dealer miles just like frequent flyer air miles. Browse Mercedes-Benz of Pompano's Indoor Expo. You'll find over 150 great new and pre-owned vehicles, or go to their website, benzpompano.com, B-E-N-Z, benzpompano.com. Experience the difference at Mercedes-Benz of Pompano. You'll find them at I-95 and Copens Road. Give them a call at 1-800-NEW-BENZ, N-E-W-B-E-N-Z, just like deep knee Benz, 1-800-NEW-BENZ for Mercedes-Benz of Pompano, a Mercedes-Benz dealer like no other you have ever seen.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560.
Remember this golden gasser. Wonderful WQAM.
Now all us rednecks sure love incest. Sex just ain't as good unless it's family. Because all us rednecks practice incest. Now I'm my only uncle and it worries me. My Aunt Esther took me with her back to her double wide. What a deal, ain't got no wheels, and inside smelled like something died. She kissed my cheek and winked her eye and said, we're all alone in the house. But I got sick when she gave me a kiss, chewing tobacco in her mouth. All us rednecks sure love incest.
All right.
Sex just ain't as good unless it's family. Because all us rednecks practice incest. So come meet my new wife, she's my niece. I just got me a farm with horses, chickens, cows, and pigs. A 4x4 that I adore, with tires that are too damn big. The rear window, it has a gun rack, that's where I keep my gun. A rebel flag and my wife in the back. My neck is red from too much sun. All us rednecks sure love incest. Cause sex just ain't as good unless it's family. Because all us rednecks practice incest. My sister is the one over there with the dirty knees. At reunions it's hard to choose. Who's got the nicest tooth?
You fairy.
And I don't like the way my daddy has been watching me.
1048. El Presidente is going to be making an announcement in the Rose Garden in front of his entire cabinet. Maybe they're all going to resign this morning.
Oh! Yeah,
that'd be great.
Right.
I mean, yesterday, Rummy, and today, all the rest of...
More likely, they'll declare martial law or something.
Oh,
like that
could be it. Speaking of that, the evangelical camp featured in the documentary Jesus Camp has been discontinued due to vandalism and other negative reactions sparked by the film, according to a report in yesterday's Houston Chronicle. Somehow I missed Jesus Camp. Did you?
Well, I saw the reports on it, but I'll be sure to watch it when it comes on cable.
We've decided to hold different activities in the future, Pentecostal pastor and camp organizer Becky Fisher said. The film gained attention when the trailers went public, showing the children who are sent to camp to pray before an effigy of George Bush and trained to protest abortion at very early ages, kind of like those madrasas over there in Pakistan and Saudi Arabia.
Same deal.
It then gained further notoriety when it was noted that the film featured former evangelical leader Ted Haggard, the former pastor of the New Life Church in Colorado Springs and former advisor to George Bush.
Come and listen to a story.
After admonishing homosexuals in the documentary, was involved in the gay sex and drug scandal. In the following video clip, and here it is, you look at it. See that? There it is. Haggard seen condemning homosexuality. Immediately below is the film's trailer. How do you like that? I'm looking at it right now. Oh, gee, there's Pastor Ted. At any rate, no more Jesus Camp. That thing with redneck loves, rednecks love incest, that's basically, you know, that's what America's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats and rednecks. I'm sure that there are some Democratic rednecks. Few.
Oh, yeah.
Republican Joe Negron had a lot to overcome as a replacement candidate for disgraced former Representative Miss Mark Foley. For starters, Foley's name remained on the ballot in Palm Beach County. I'll be danged. Negron, who had just more than a month of campaign, tried to make the best of the situation. He even came up with a catchy campaign slogan, hoping to get his message out, Punch Foley for Negron. Give him a big punch, a Hawaiian punch, or whatever kind you like. But it wasn't enough. Democrat Tim Mahoney ultimately edged him out by a narrow margin. I'm proud I stepped in and ran a five-way campaign for a congressman who stepped down in disgrace, Negron said. Foley's South Florida seat. Oh, yeah, he's got a very famous seat, Foley. In other words,
rectum.
Which he abandoned amid accusations he sent lurid messages to teenage boys, pages on Capitol Hill, was one of several around the country that were left open after congressional scandals. In Texas, Democratic Nick Lampson won the seat left open when former House Majority Leader Tom DeLay resigned from Congress. The hammer. The hammer. In June, as a result of a fundraising scandal.
That was funny.
The courts refused to allow Republicans to replace DeLay on the ballot. The victory was sweet revenge for Lampson. The former congressman lost his House seat in 2004 as a result of a devious plan orchestrated by DeLay to redraw congressional voting districts in Texas. The Eastern Ohio district of disgraced former Representative Bob Ney, traditionally a Republican stronghold, was also turned over to Democrats. The voters said nay to the Republicans. Democrat Zach Space, watch your back, Zach, defeated Republican State Senator Joy Padgett, taking a seat the GOP had held for 30
About 30, man.
Years. How do you like that? So there's a couple of good points, good things. Of course, the thing in Palm Beach was much too close. But nevertheless, close don't count only in horseshoes and quoits. And I don't even know what the quoits is. What is quoits?
I don't know. Am I going to have to look that up?
Q.
Is that like close?
Get out of here. Close my ass.
Please. I'm doing the show in shorts all the time.
Let's see. Detailed history of the game. It's a game, quoits.
Okay. It's a food.
Quoits is related to another early pub game, throwing of horseshoes at a pin in the ground. See? That's the old saying, close only counts in horseshoes and quoits. Some theories have it that quoits developed from horseshoe pitching as a formalized version of the sport. Horseshoe pitching is still played today and especially popular in certain regions of the U.S., the rules being similar to that of the northern quoits game, and it's got the rules and the whole deal. The long game, the short game, the early game, and you know, like that. Remember that golf spot with Jack Nicklaus and John Holmes? Jack Nicklaus says, let me show you the short game. And John Holmes says, anyway, day after Britney Spears asked for a divorce, Kevin Federline, K-Fed, one of the smarmiest, most objectionable pieces of turd ever to crawl out of the slime in Louisiana. Isn't that where they're from, Louisiana?
I don't know.
I think he put the lose in Louisiana. A day after she asked for a divorce, Kevin K-Fed filed court papers seeking sole custody of the couple's two children. The former backup dancer and aspiring rapper is also seeking spousal support. He says the couple's... I mean, that's just so sad, you know? It's so sad! Like she was doing him a... he was doing her a favor by servicing her, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He says the couple's community assets are uncertain, though Spears said in her divorce papers there were none to speak of. All right. I like her better right now.
Yeah, nice stuff.
You go, bitch. Kevin is prepared to go the distance in order to do what he feels is necessary to protect and safeguard the children and will not be intimidated or dissuaded from pursuit of those goals. Michael Sand, spokesman for Federline's attorney, Mark Vincent Kaplan, said Wednesday. Spokesman for his attorney. Wow. The spokesman. Citing irreconcilable differences, Spears filed for divorce on Tuesday, which we're supposed to care about this, even though I couldn't care less. But nevertheless, you got to be on top of this crap, man. This is where America's head is at. Spears, 24, and K-Fed, 28, have a one-year-old son, Sean Preston, and an infant son, Jaden James, who was born September 12. Spears, of course, is seeking custody of both chillins. Spears wed Federline in the fall of 2004. They had a ceremony in September, but court papers state the couple were officially married October 6. It was the first marriage for Federline, though he was still dating his pregnant girlfriend, Shar Jackson, when he met the pop star, his pregnant girlfriend. Well, I'll tell you one thing. He sure got a way of impregnating his girlfriends. Jackson gave birth to Federline's second child just months before he married Spears. It was the second wedding in a year for Spears, whose 55-hour marriage to childhood friend Jason Alexander ended in annulment. Remember those days, of course. Well, I'm going to tell you, all this tabloid turbulence is just more than most of us can handle. Is that what it is? Tabloid turbulence. Speaking of turbulence, they're going to have a turbulent stomach all weekend because they're bringing in some heavy-duty stuff tomorrow. Jackson's ice cream from Dania is coming in with more tubs of ice cream for the guys and premium National Deli all-beef hot dogs. Big dogs. Not just regular, but footlongs. Where the hell was it we used to have footlongs? Where the hell was that? Was it like at the fair, at the state fair, stuff like that?
I don't know. Coney Island.
Never was at Coney Island. What do you think? I'm like some kind of a New York Jew or something like that?
I don't know. Aren't you?
Anyway, National Deli proudly presents the first annual Big Dog Eating Contest at Jackson's Ice Cream November 18th at 8 p.m., featuring foot-long premium all-beef Big Dog. So they're bringing in a bunch of weenies and ice cream tomorrow for our two weenies, George and Josh. Wieners for the weenies. 11:45 on a pool. I'll tell you one thing, man. We are really kicking some big, fat, grotesque ass today. Even Donna Shalaby don't have an ass that big, I don't think. Although maybe. How do you like that thing? Some of the so-called fans spitting on their own players because they had the audacity to lose another game, as if they didn't go out there and play their guts out, right? Am I right, Josh?
Yeah, they just, you know, don't have talent.
They
or
just
coaching.
Suck, okay? So they're not so all that great. Okay, big deal. So they lost some games. Tough crap. Just like that Michael Irvin is bad-mouthing poor Larry, that old Larry Cokehead guy. And Larry ain't too happy about it either. What is the ape man? The pissed off ape.
Sorry we couldn't get that to you sooner.
Yeah, that's right. Get us the wheel and the standing upright sooner, you schmuck. God, get him out of our face. Anyway, 10:56 at QM. We got a lot of heavy-duty sports stuff. The Dolphins play this weekend. What girls' team do the Hurricanes plan on beating up this weekend?
Oh, actually, they have another top 25 team in Maryland.
Oh, they're going to get whipped again. Hopefully, that's an away game. Let me take a look at the schedule.
You're have to, it is.
Well, I'm not going to trust you because you told me that the Dolphins run
away. It's an away game.
Oh, it's UM at Maryland. Well, thank God for that. Hopefully, the Maryland fans won't be spitting on the Hurricane players or anybody else or at each other. Maryland, another ranked team, huh? So let's see, 5-5. That sounds like Larry's last game to me.
The biggest names.
Bye-bye, you old goat.
This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Hurricane blow!
Old Canada, a land that's produced rock and roll's greatest performers. And now, these legendary Canucks pay tribute to one another on this new CD, The Best of Canadians Singing Other Canadians, featuring Anne Murray's version of this Rush classic.
A modern-day warrior, mean, means dry. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, pride.
And Rush's take on this Anne Murray standard. The Best of Canadians Singing Other Canadians has all your favorite singers from Z to A, like Celine Dion's rendition of this Neil Young number.
Old man, look at my life. You're a lot like my husband, Rene, no?
Neil Young singing Celine Dion's biggest hit.
I know that my heart of gold will go on.
But that's not all. There's Shania Twain singing Bryan Adams, Crash Test Dummies doing Alanis Morissette, Snow rapping the Guess Who, and Gordon Lightfoot performing this Bare Naked Ladies smash hit.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Tuck your head to the side and said, I am angry.
Pick up your copy of The Best of Canadians Singing Other Canadians. The Great White North has never been so great. Or for that matter, so white.
It's 11:02 at 560 WQAM. Happy Thursday to you, November 9. Honor of Robert Creeper, it's November
9.
Uh-huh. Now, is he the one that told you that spilled the beans about that whole thing with the morning show?
No.
Representative, don't tell me it was the Beast. He wasn't even there. Maybe it was
nope.
Toast. You're Toast, Toast.
Okay, yeah.
Representative You're such a putz. It's just pathetic. You know?
Stop giving up my sources, man.
Representative Charlie Rangel, the incoming chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, revealed yesterday that he's got his eye on Capitol Hill office space now held by the man he recently called a son of a bitch, Vice President Dick Cheney. Mr. Cheney enjoys an office on the second floor of the House of Representatives that historically has been designated for the Ways and Means Committee chairman, explained Rangel, who vaulted to the top slot of the tax writing panel, one of the most powerful in Congress, when Democrats rolled over the GOP to take control of the House Tuesday. I talked to future House Speaker Pelosi about it this morning, a giddy Rangel told a crowd during a news conference at his Harlem office yesterday morning. I'm trying to find some way to be as gentle as I can to restore the dignity of that office, chuckled Rangel. The dignity of that office. You got to go. You got to go, meaning El Vice Presidente. In Rangel's debut news conference as Ways and Means Chairman in Waiting, he dismissed GOP claims that he's been tinkering with Bush's tax cuts before they expire in 2010 or said I'm letting them lapse in 4 years. At my age, 76, I don't buy green bananas, he said. Bush won't be around in 2010. We don't know what the economy is going to look like in 2010, so let's get on and see what we can do, he said. And he dismissed the Republicans' campaign talking point that he would suspend military funding to halt the war in Iraq. I want to make it clear that no member of Congress is prepared to cut funds that would put our brave men and women in jeopardy. What stops the war are the American people, he said. Despite his jab at Cheney, Rangel vowed to work across party lines to tackle issues such as Social Security. The president's going to have to decide whether he wants to be a lame duck president, he said, if he wants to reach across the aisle. We, too, would like to show that the country wants bipartisanship, Rangel added. Still, he couldn't resist taking a shot at Bush's immigration reform plan, calling a guest worker program as close to slavery as you can legally get. Rangel's getting the last laugh in the nasty war words with Cheney. Now in the closing campaign stretch, Cheney ridiculed Rangel as an irresponsible tax lover who wouldn't extend a single one of the tax cuts. Rangel blew his stack when Cheney told Fox News Channel, Charlie doesn't understand how the economy works. He's such a real son of a bitch, he just enjoys confrontation, Rangel snapped to the Post, talking about your vice president, Dick. 1,170 votes on the poll. We had Geldy on, if you missed our morning show, the Kenny and Bo morning show. Hopefully it won't happen again anytime soon. Well, he's off to Buffalo with the team. Good place for him. Maybe they'll leave him there. Maybe they'll leave him in Depew. They'll hear that voice, and they'll all be going, oh. It's just amazing, isn't it? Just mind-boggling.
Sorry, what?
Exactly. Enjoy your lunch today. Did you find out where you're going yet, or is this going to be a big
mystery?
No,
it'll be a surprise. We'll probably go to Tootsie's, get some lap dances for lunch.
Walmart has told its employees that it's okay to once again greet shoppers by saying Merry Christmas this holiday season instead of the generic Happy Holidays. How do you like that? And, of course, it kind of fits in because Walmart is strictly for goyim.
Uh-huh. Yahoos.
CNN confirmed that Walmart will announce today that it plans to use the phrase Merry Christmas in products and around its stores this holiday season.
Oh,
another reason
God.
Not to shop there. The announcement comes a year after religious groups such as the American Family Association and the Catholic League boycotted retailers, including Walmart, last holiday season for excluding the word Christmas from products sold in stores. We quite frankly have learned a lesson from last year. Walmart spokesman Linda Blakely told the USA Today in a separate report, we're not afraid to use the term Merry Christmas. We'll use it early and we'll use it often. We want those goyim back, she said. Besides resurrecting its Christmas pitch, the retailer is also determined to be the leader in this year's holiday price wars. The November-December holiday shopping period is a critical time for merchants because it can account for as much as 50% of their profits and sales. 50%. To that end, Walmart was the first out of the gate to chop prices on toys and electronics, much ahead of its competitors like Target, Toys R Us, Costco, and others. To support its Christmas deals, the report said Walmart will launch TV ads next week that trumpet Christmas, war for goyim. It's changing the name of its seasonal decoration department to the Christmas shop from the holiday shop. In other words, if you're celebrating Hanukkah, Chabdir and Dreer. Moreover, Walmart stores will play Christmas carols throughout the holiday period, and about 60% more merchandise will be labeled as Christmas rather than holiday items, the paper said. How do you like that? How about those Chinooka carols? When are they going to start at Walmart? Right?
Absolutely. I'm going to start singing some in the parking lot.
The holiday season. Everyone loves Christmas carols. But until now, no one has ever written holiday songs about that other big holiday this time of year. That's right. I said, until now. Introducing Hanukkah Carols on CD.
Hanukkah is always right at Christmas. This ain't something new.
If you didn't know it, then you're not a Jew.
Hanukkah Carols on CD spins like a cradle as it gives you hours and hours of holiday music to get you into the other spirit of the season.
On the 8th day of Hanukkah, my mother gave to me 8 pound chopped liver, 7 slabs of corned beef, 6 potato latkes.
Prime is a
If you're tired of the old traditional songs of the holidays, here's a whole new tradition you'll get tired of almost before you know it.
You better buy gifts and get them on sale.
You know how we hate to pay retail.
Hanukkah is coming to town.
Hanukkah Carols on CD. It's the holiday collection you just can't pass over.
But you won't be hearing no Hanukkah Carols at Walmart, I'll tell you that. Because they've decided to really pander to the goyim. Well, that's okay. There's a lot more goyim than there are Jews. So I guess it just fits in with their business practices anyway, right?
Right.
So pull your trailer right up there to the side of Walmart and have yourself a gay old time. 1,180 votes on the poll. We're going to be way over 12 at 12, man. We're on our way to, like, a spectacular, unbelievable number today. And Josh says we're kicking serious ass. We got at least 5 people listening online on QAM.com. Wait till that website really gets put into shape. Right?
That's right.
Of course, you got a long wait.
No, not really.
Republicans had hoped the midterm election would brand 2006 as the year of the black Republican. Guess what? Didn't happen. With high-profile losses in Maryland Senate race and in contests for governor in Ohio and Pennsylvania, prospects for Republican gains among black voters turned up short this year and gave scant hope for 2008. One thing about the dark folks, man, they know which side their jam is buttered on. Republican Michael Steele, Maryland's lieutenant governor, lost to Democrat Representative Ben Cardin by nearly 10%. Ken Blackwell, an obnoxious conservative darling who would have been Ohio's first black governor, who helped to affix Ohio for Bush in 2004, lost by nearly 24%. And Lynn Swan, another dumb jock, failed by 21% to secure the Pennsylvania governor's office. Lynn Swan. The 3 black Republicans were touted as a new face for the party, which has been perceived as predominantly white for years, but Republicans have vowed and continue to vow to change that. Good luck to them. They'll need it. History will show these candidates represent a new breed of Republican leaders, said Tara Wall of the Republican National Committee. This is just the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Wall insisted that the Republican sweeping defeats throughout the nation Tuesday would not hinder the party's future efforts to recruit black candidates. Well, they certainly got enough
gay
candidates. The RNC had scheduled more than 100 outreach events to mobilize black voters, more anticipated during the 2008 election. Ron Walters, former campaign official with the Reverend Jesse Jackson, and now a professor of government and politics at the University of Maryland, said Republicans have to identify candidates based on issues, not just on skin color. What a concept. They have to have positions that are in line with the black community, he said. If they can't attract the black vote, it won't pay off. Exit polls showed 88% of blacks supported Democrats, about the same level of support in the last few elections. 88%. We should only say that of all ethnic and minority groups. Shouldn't we be able to say that? 88% of Jews, 88% of Hispanics, like especially in Dade County, huh?
Incredible.
Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be a major reawakening accomplishment? I'll tell you one thing. All those old green teeth, man, are going to be dead one of these days. Not soon enough, but, I mean, they'll be dead. You know what I'm talking about, the old green teeth?
Oh, yeah.
The alien crowd. The crowd, ah, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, well, they're ailing.
They'll be dead. And then the new breed of young Julios, man, then they're going to take over. People like Miguel, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and him, too. Oh, he's going to take over.
Yeah.
He's going to be head of the DEA.
The Drug Enjoyment Agency?
The Drug Enjoyment Agency. Excellent. 1,187 votes on the poll. We're waiting for President Bush to speak. And he said, I never promised you a Rose Garden. And there's Nancy Pelosi and that very boring Harry Reid. Do you think Harry's really alive, or is he just like a mannequin? Man, there's so many of these guys. Talk about stiff. Like I said, beg your pardon. Who was that, Lynn Anderson?
Yes.
I beg your pardon.
Now, isn't she dead?
I think so.
Oh, not Lynn Anderson, for crying out loud. Not sure lovely that. Lynn, who had so many big hits like that when I was a medley of them, I think. I never promised you a Rose Garden. Well, anyway, he's going to be making another speech, and hopefully the whole bunch of them will resign.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Sports Queer Radio is what the Q's for in QAM.
Absolutely. First, it was Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Temple of Doom, and the Last Crusade. Now, nearly two decades later, he's back.
I hate snakes. I can't remember why, but I hate... Hey, turn that music down!
Harrison Ford returns in Indiana Jones and the Geezers of Doom.
I'm going to hit you with my whip. Stand still now.
That didn't hurt.
Oh, yeah? How about this?
It felt nothing.
AARP Pictures presents Harrison Ford in the fourth installment of an ancient movie franchise, Indiana Jones and the Geezers of Doom.
No, no! That giant boulder's rolling right for us! Everybody run for your lives! Ouch.
Indiana Jones and the Geezers of Doom. This role is not recommended for actors over 64 years of age.
1118 at 560 WQAM. We have 1,205 votes on the poll. We are smoking on that thing, man. It is just smoking. And two big lunches taking place today. Your president's having lunch with Nancy Pelosi. Would you like to be a fly on that table?
Oh, not a fly.
And George is having lunch with Joe Bell, our General Mangler, this afternoon. He doesn't know where yet and doesn't know what kind of jello you're going to be eating for dessert. Probably it's got some of that Preston antifreeze in it.
Well, I hope it's red.
How about the jello?
That too.
As the canvassing continues in Virginia, Senator George Makakowicz Allen is sequestered in his home, shell-shocked and going through a nightmare during this period of limbo. A senior Allen staffer tells CNN, Allen is making a speech at 3 this afternoon, hopefully to concede. In a conference call with the Senate staff and regional representatives yesterday afternoon, the Virginia senator didn't concede yet but was clearly not emboldened to fight this. According to the staffer who spoke on condition of anonymity, he don't want to be called macaca by some half-wits. And Allen lost to his Democratic challenger, James Webb, gives Democrats a one-seat majority in the Senate. I think he's going to concede at 3 this afternoon, being the real fine gentleman that he is. Being the drooling redneck that he is. Wow. At any rate, so that's you got Bush at 11:35 and you got Makakowicz at 3. I think your day is all set now, and of course, those big lunches in between. George is going to be, he's got a hidden microphone. He's going to be broadcasting lunch with Joe Bell. Tell him that Kenny Walker's a good guy and they should stop trying to sandbag his show.
I will.
That'd be something good to say. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get involved, though. Don't go dragging my name through it. Don't be like, well, Neil says...
That's exactly what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to do that.
Neil says this and Neil says that.
Right. I'm positive that's what it's going to be.
Well, because otherwise they'll say...
Well, first of all, he don't care. Exactly. He doesn't care what you have to say.
That's
anyway.
Right.
He's just using you to try to get through.
That's right. I'm going
to
tell him.
Neil says
this is what Neil wants.
Doug Thompson, Capitol Hill Blue, Georgia's very favorite website, says, memo to Democrats, don't buy into Bush's act. That's what cynical Doug says. He says, President George W. Bush decided before Tuesday's midterm elections to fire Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, but lied once again to the press and the American people about his intentions. Bush admitted yesterday that he interviewed former CIA Director Robert Gates over the weekend for Rumsfeld's job and said he intentionally misled reporters last week about the Defense Secretary's future to avoid making the Iraq War more of an issue in the election. More of an issue? The Iraq War and Bush's mishandling of it was the issue in Tuesday's rout that swept Democrats back into power in both the House and the Senate. Once again, Bush proved himself unaware of the obvious and oblivious to the voter anger that sent Republicans packing. He blamed GOP losses on voter ignorance, saying Americans didn't understand the war in Iraq. He chastised political guru Karl Rove, saying, I obviously was working harder in the campaign than he was. He later would claim the line was a joke, but it wasn't. Bush was clearly pissed off at everyone involved in Tuesday's election debacle, everyone but himself. Wednesday's press conference was classic Bush. Offer up Rumsfeld as the first of what some expect will be a number of scapegoats for the Tuesday massacre, avoid accepting responsibility for his own culpability, and talk about how he hopes to work with Democrats after 6 years of riding roughshod over them. When asked about the outrageous claims he made about incoming Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats during the election, saying they favored victory by terrorists, Bush dismissed his inflammatory rhetoric as just politics. The election is over, Bush said, it's time to move on. Yet it's hard to move on with a president who openly admits lying and then rationalizes that is just politics. Bush's disregard for the truth is just one of his many ethical problems and moral lapses. He lives in a delusional world of his own, making a political allegory that mocks morality, ethics, and the law. In his warped mind, all is fair in politics. He and his party proved that over and over again this past election, using fear, racism, bigotry, homophobia, and outright lies to try and hold on to power. Now that he's lost, he wants to make nice and demands that the opposition forgive and forget. A recommendation for incoming Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid, don't fall for W's act. He's a venomous political snake who will turn and bite at the first opportunity because that's what snakes do. Don't turn your backs on him. Don't trust him for a nanosecond. And don't believe for an instant that he serves any interest but his own. George W. Bush proved this past week that he'll sell out anyone, including his own administration and his party's leaders in Congress. If last week he had announced his decision to replace Donald Rumsfeld, it might have swayed enough voters to keep at least the Senate in GOP hands. But Bush, for reasons lost somewhere in his deranged mind, decided to lie to the American people again. It was, in the end, another desperate, unexplainable act by a madman. A madman. Like that. That's your president, baby. That's what Doug Thompson said. Doug is still. I wonder if Doug's coming out of hiding now. I don't think the coast is clear.
I don't know. It's not.
I don't know if the coast is queer or not. 1,218 votes on the poll. Bill Cosby settled suit alleging sexual assault. Remember that?
I do.
You know, the good thing, it just dawned on me, we don't hear anything about him anymore. Thank God. Well, you talk about somebody who really wore out his welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I ever liked him in the first place. I never thought he was funny or entertaining or anything, you know. Just too much Jell-O pudding. Bill Cosby settled a lawsuit yesterday with a woman who said the entertainer drugged and sexually assaulted her at his home outside Philadelphia. Terms of the settlement remain confidential, according to one paragraph statement released jointly by both sides. Cosby's publicist, David Brokaw, said there'd be no further comment. And speaking of Brokaw, do you notice how NBC trotted old Tom out there? Wow. A telephone number for the plaintiff couldn't be determined yesterday. She could not be reached for comment. Her lawyer, Dolores M. Troiani, declined further comment. The woman claimed that Cosby, 69, assaulted her at his mansion in Cheltenham in early 2004 after giving her pills. Attorneys for Cosby says the comedian gave the woman Benadryl allergy tablet after she complained of stress and sleeping problems. It was just a Benadryl or two or three.
Right, that's illegal now.
Well, if you give like 10. The federal judge presiding over the case earlier denied Cosby's request for a gag order and the plaintiff's request to shield the names of a dozen other women who say Cosby assaulted them. Some of the accusations raised by the other women go back for decades and none have pending lawsuits filed against him. The plaintiff, a native of Ontario, Canada, was in her 30s, previously worked at I just don't understand that.
That's right.
I mean, Ontario is a province. It's like, that would be like saying a native of Pennsylvania. I mean, like, is there a city where she's from, or is she just from the province? She hangs around a lot.
The boondocks, unincorporated.
Anyway, she's in her 30s, previously worked at Temple University in Philadelphia, which touts Cosby as a trustee and one of its most famous alumni.
Real service, real savings.
She then filed a lawsuit. Well, wait a minute. I skipped over something. She went to police about a year after the encounter. Montgomery County prosecutors declined to file criminal charges. She then filed a lawsuit. Cosby, best known as the warm, funny TV dad on The Cosby Show, which really sucked, has sparked debate with blunt remarks on personal responsibility aimed at the black community. In 1997, the year his son Ennis was murdered, the long-married Cosby acknowledged a brief affair with the mother of Autumn Jackson, a young woman convicted of extorting him. The woman said Cosby had given her three blue pills that rendered her semi-conscious, then molested her. He's a big pill guy, like you, I guess. She said she awoke to find her bra undone and her clothes in disarray. That's usually a sign of something.
Mm-hmm.
Cosby, in his legal filings, denied the assault and said he made the woman breakfast the next morning. He described them as social friends who sometimes had dinner together, alone, or with others. They have sometimes had dinner together, alone, or with others. What does that mean? Oh, I see. Either with just the two of them or with a bunch. Like you'll see in Match Point if that DVD ever shows up. I am so frosted about that. You know me, being the big spender, I was only like $12.42 with the,
Don't even sweat it. You've already gone above and beyond.
No, I have not. You need to see that. You'll love it.
I will. Eventually.
Now, I look today to see the status of my order. It says, delivery expected between November 14th and 28th. What kind of service is that, Amazon.com? That's my own fault. Plaintiff and he discussed many topics, including basketball, plaintiff's career and personal development, job opportunities, and plaintiff's spiritual beliefs, Cosby said in his answer to the lawsuit. The accuser also sought damages for defamation after Cosby's representatives allegedly suggested her family had asked him for money before going to the police. A little blackmail, a little bribery there attempted. And what they said, we don't believe that for a second, do we? I don't know, I don't care. Who cares about Jell-O pudding and Bill? You know, Jell-O pudding. What kind of people eat Jell-O pudding?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
Lots? Okay.
1,229 votes. How satisfied are we with the election results? And the majority of this crowd, of course, are squeezing themselves and each other.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560.
George Bush doesn't care about black people.
I want to be a Latino. I want to be a Latino and say, hey, mano, and we're there. I want to drive in a big car with leopard skin interior with loud ass bass. I want a girl named Juanita. I want a girl named Juanita with long black hair, big blue eyes, and big gold chains. Ah, Latino. Ah, Latino. Ah, Latino. I once knew a Latino. Way down. He had a white muscle shirt that was way too tight. Ah, Latino. Ah, Latino. Ah, Latino. Ah, Latino.
Ay, Dios mío, esos carros.
So El Presidente's very short speech is over. You know how many words he spoke?
About 30, man.
Uh-huh.
Heard his party, the lack of it. With terrorist surveillance.
Congratulate
with
the Democrats on their victory, put the elections behind us and are behind, and work together and all this other crap. And then he turned around, and Cheney followed him very closely, by the way, and they went inside the door and back in the White House and bye-bye. And that was it. No questions asked. 1,239 votes. I just mentioned that because there may be people thinking that he had something cataclysmic, something muy importante to say. And did he?
No.
He says the American people expect us to rise above politics. Well, when did that start?
That's funny coming from him.
Yeah. That's just probably like a throwing a fig leaf to the Democrat Party, as he calls it. The Vatican has condemned a gay pride parade due to be held in Jerusalem tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that can't be the gay pride parade where the Farbissin, those Orthodox Jews in Israel, were saying they were offering a reward to kill any fags. That must be the one. The Vatican has condemned a gay pride parade due to be held in Jerusalem tomorrow as offensive to religious believers and urged Israeli authorities to stop it taking place. How do you like that? Talk about, here's the Nazi Pope. Who's now giving dictates to Israel.
Boy, does he have a lot of chutzpah.
Yeah, paparazzi. It is with bitterness that we've learned that the day after tomorrow, November 10, 2006, there is scheduled in Jerusalem a so-called gay pride parade, the Vatican said in a statement issued yesterday. In a letter to Israel's foreign minister, the Vatican urged authorities to withdraw permission for the parade, which is expected to attract up to 8,000 peepholes. The Holy See has reiterated on many occasions that the right to freedom of expression, sanctioned by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, is subject to just limits. In particular, when the exercise of this right would offend the religious sentiments of believers, the letter said. It is clear that the gay pride parade scheduled to take place in Jerusalem will prove offensive to the great majority of Jews, Muslims, and Christians, given the sacred character of the city of Jerusalem. Gay pride festivals have been held each year in Jerusalem since 2001, but this year's vigor and with international participation has caused greater outrage than before. Ultra-Orthodox Jews dressed in black suits and hats have protested in the city, burning tires and pelting police with stones. Organizers say the parade will promote understanding, tolerance, and open-mindedness. Right. The Vatican has often criticized the rise of gay rights as a potential threat to the traditional model of the family. That's right, because they want them all to themselves. That's what it's all about. They don't like to share. That's one thing about this Pope, man. He wants every
rectum
for himself, especially that Swiss guard. In June, the Vatican said gay marriage, abortion, lesbians wanting to bear children, and a host of other practices it saw as threats to the traditional family and were signs of the eclipse of God. Oh, my God. Pardon the expression. How do you like that? You know what this reminds me of all over again?
Come and listen to a story about a preacher named Ted.
Yeah, same old crap. Pot calling the kettle pink. I mean, the world's biggest closet, the Catholic Church. Anybody out there ever meet a straight priest?
No.
I've been asking that for 30 years in this market now.
About 30, man.
Never had one name delivered
to
me.
Like I told you this morning, no straight man would willingly put himself into a position where he couldn't get any of that.
Yeah. Oh, any of that?
Yeah, you know that.
Yeah, that.
Dang.
I see.
It's a breakfast drink. You're right.
Keeps you regular.
Yes, it does.
1,245 votes on the poll. We're going to have like over 1,300 by noon, and God only knows. Now, we did 15 yesterday right at the end of the show, right? About 17, something like that. I don't think we're going to duplicate that again. Don't set the bar too high, you know, because then Vern Troyer can't get up there and get a nice stiff drink.
Yeah.
He is just...
He's adorable.
Yeah, I got the check.
Yeah, he's the best. At any rate, Robert Kohler says the drama of empty numbers has the Bush administration really gotten its comeuppance. No, the real comeuppance should be impeachment. And now let's see if they were just blowing smoke when Pelosi and all these others were saying, oh, well, that's not on our agenda, and if we... let's hope they were just making nice, you know? Because now it's time not to make nice no more. And let's have a lot of hearings, you know, into the energy policy and into the whole Iraq business, all of this stuff. The so-called Patriot Act, my ass. And the voters went, ahem, is the first sentence in this story. Ahem. Even with 40% national turnout, which I know is good for a midterm election, the world's oldest and most complacent democracy, I find myself battling doubt, Robert Kohler writes, and skepticism a day later that the criminally incompetent Bush administration has actually gotten its comeuppance. At the very least, I know that those of us who want to reclaim the country still have a lot of work to do. Our celebration of wresting back the House and maybe even the Senate will have to be a brief one. Not maybe, and the House and the Senate. See, when he wrote this, it was still up in the air, but it's not up in the air anymore. I think Alan Mikakowicz will concede the three this afternoon. A White House spokesman commenting on the president's reaction to the withdrawal of his mandate to dig the holes into which he has thrust the country still deeper during the remainder of his term said, but he's eager to work with both parties on his priorities over the next 2 years. Yeah, I'll bet. What I wonder is, have we elected bipartisan appeasers who want to work with W, or will the newly powerful congressional Democrats reflect the outrage and horror of their constituents and begin shining a moral spotlight on this criminal regime? Will they tell the president where to stick his priorities?
Rectum.
My skepticism is at least partly based on exposure to the boob tube, the boob
tube,
last night, for a longer interval than I'm accustomed to at one time. As I watch the election returns with friends, I keep forgetting the depth of American know-nothingism is pervaded especially by the electronic media. The hollowness of the democracy that mainstream pundits spill into our living rooms was driven home for me by a CNN commentator waxing wise on the Senate horse race in Virginia. Referring to exit polls that showed a majority of males casting their votes for Republican Senator George Mikakowicz Allen, son of the former Redskins coach of the same name, and a majority of women voting for the Democratic challenger Jim Webb, he said, the men voting for Allen in Virginia, that's football. The women voting for Webb, that's Iraq. If he's right, it's time for a male anti-suffrage movement, methinks, but there was no moral awareness behind this pseudo-observation, only an indulgent glee in the spirit of the old Art Linkletter show, Kids Say the Darndest Things. Americans cast their ballots for the darndest reasons, apparently. The gals are riled over Iraq torture, 650,000 dead, while their husbands are dreaming Super Bowl and the skin's glory days. Let's wait and see which candidate wins, and we'll see which concern resonates more with the American people. Ain't democracy grand? If you actually believe the stakes in this election had life and death significance, such jocularity might barely be tolerable. But here in America, where 40% is a darn good turnout for a midterm election, such folks are in the minority, I guess. A few other matters were lost in the drama of the numbers that flashed across our TV screens. For instance, the media continue not to care that electronic voting machines are unreliable, hackable, enormously costly, and undermine the integrity of our elections. Machine malfunctions, wooden start, fail to display candidates' name, flip votes, occurred in precincts throughout the country, inconveniencing some voters, disenfranchising others. And most such machines leave no verifiable paper trail, making recounts in many such races such as Virginia's Iraq football set to all but impossible. Also beyond the scope of the drama of empty numbers that we're accustomed to calling democracy, there were some overlooked results that hinted at the true national mood. One was the surprising success of a number of alternative candidates, including Rich Whitney, the Green Party's nominee for governor of Illinois, who got a whopping 11% of the vote in that state. Another was the fatal resolutions from coast to coast calling for U.S. troop withdrawal from Iraq. A total of 8.7 million voters cast ballots in such resolutions, according to the National Organization Liberty Tree. Most of these referenda passed by wide margins. In Cook County, Illinois, where I voted, for example, the vote was 456,000 in favor to 167,000 against withdrawing troops from Iraq. And in San Francisco, nearly 60% voted yes on a resolution calling for Bush's impeachment, and across the bay in Berkeley, more than 68% voted yes on impeachment. Oh, well, ho-hum, this is a footnote in the mainstream media, which excel at bringing us the Super Bowl, but haven't quite figured out how to cover elections, which are more complex and just possibly more important. More important than the Super Bowl? How dare he? Let's find Robert Kohler and string up his ass.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
The crap you can unwrap, all the slime, all the time.
You're free, and freedom is beautiful. And, you know, it'll take time to restore chaos, but we will.
Something stinks inside our house. Time to kick those bastards out. Throwing shit out on our lawn. Kick them out before our freedom's gone. Let's kick them out before our freedom's gone.
Seven 13 to noon on a great Thursday, man. It's a wonderful day for the Irish, the Jews, the Goyim, everybody else, and even the Muslims, man, even the ragheads. I don't know why, but you can feel it, can't you? Can you smell it?
I smell something.
I guarantee you, what you smell is probably George getting real nervous. You know how when some people get nervous, they fart a lot? Because of that lunch he's got coming up with Joe Bell. A lot of pressure, no doubt.
Why should I be nervous?
There will be prayer and perhaps the laying on of hands. So this is the story. This is not about your lunch. Although there could be prayer and laying on of hands during your lunch.
Gee, I hope not.
There will be counseling and a confession, and there will be advice. See, this all sounds just like, like your lunch coming up. There will be advice, confrontation, and a rebuke from godly men appointed to oversee the spiritual restoration of the Reverend Ted Haggard, is what this says.
Come and listen to a story about a preacher named Ted.
After fumbling and tumbling from the pinnacle of American evangelical movement amid allegations he snorted meth and cavorted with a male prostitute, cavorted. Isn't that an interesting choice of words? Huh?
I love that word.
Who wrote this? The Associated Press. Cavorted my ass.
I'll bet.
Haggard has agreed to a rehabilitation process that could last 3 to 5 years. Oh, my goodness. Maybe they'll throw him in there with, Mark Foley. Because he's certainly much too old for Miss Foley. Although Ted might like Mark because he seems to be enamored with ugly old guys. I see success. Well, not that the guy wasn't old. He was 30, wasn't he?
About 30, man.
He's ugly.
I don't know.
Crater face. Grotesque. I see success approximately 50% of the time, said H.B. London, vice president for church and clergy at Focus on the Family, the conservative Christian ministry in Colorado Springs. Guys just wear out and they can no longer subject themselves to the process. Those who fail end up selling cars or shoes or something and being miserable and angry the rest of their lives, London said. So in other words, if any of you guys out there sell cars or shoes or are sales holes, then you're going to wind up angry and miserable the rest of your life, if you believe this Schmendrick, this huckster. Huckster of crap. Haggard was president, well, we know what he was, president of the National Association of Evangelicals and senior pastor of the 14,000-member New Life Church in Colorado Springs here last week, when a Denver man said Haggard paid him for sex nearly every month for 3 years and sometimes took methamphetamine during the encounters. Oh, he bought the meth, but he didn't use it except when he was having sex with this grotesque guy. Haggard first denied having sex with a man. He admitted buying meth, but said he threw it away unused. He resigned, like what George does with all that pot he buys. He throws it away.
Yeah.
He thinks about lighting up, and then, like, that guilt, pangs of guilt get to him, and he just schmidt-cans it.
Burn it.
He resigned from the NAE, and days later was fired from his church after confessing to unspecified sexual immorality. He's a prevert. He's a homo. London, who's not involved in Haggard's restoration, said the process will demand honesty from Haggard and determination from his overseers. It cannot just be a matter of friendship. It'll have to become almost a confrontational relationship. He said, you've got to confess your sins, and you've got to have a group of people around you who will not let you whitewash the issue. You better wash it before somebody gets some disease from it. From the Christian perspective, we think in terms of prayer. We think in terms of what we call godly counsel, where godly men who are clean themselves insert themselves in the life of one who is struggling, London said. Yeah, I think he was inserting a lot of stuff.
Rectum.
The symbolic laying out of hands may also be part of the recovery, London said. You think he's going to get the Messiah, the message?
Huh?
I'm sure there'll be those who lay their hands on Pastor Haggard as an act of faith, calling on the act of God to restore and heal, he said. The prayer can be therapeutic. The laying on of hands can be ceremonial. That's what he likes, the laying on of hands. Maybe this group can get him out of his meth. One of the men who agreed to oversee the restoration, the most unctuous focus on the family founder, James Dobson, has already withdrawn, citing a lack of time. Uh-huh. He doesn't have time for small potatoes like Ted. The other two, Pastors Jack Hayford of the Church on the Way in Van Nuys, California, and Tommy Barnett of the First Assembly of God in Phoenix, declined to comment on the specifics of Haggard's program. It isn't clear whether Haggard will try to return to the ministry at New Life or elsewhere. He says that he's committed his life to God, and he's looking for direction as to where God can best use him, said Leonard Chesler, Haggard's lawyer and friend. The Reverend Sean Spear, a Brethren in Christ pastor in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania, knows at least part of what lies ahead for Haggard. After admitting he had an affair with a woman, Spear endured a painful year-long separation from the ministry, went to counseling 6 times a month, and worked to earn back the trust of his wife and his church. It was a brutal day. It was brutal for his wife, Joy, as well. She said she suffered nightmares, had trouble sleeping, and at times wanted to die. If God could have taken me at that point, I would have been pleased, because you just don't feel like you could take another day, she said. Now they feel blessed that it did. They say their marriage survived, even flourished, and their church accepted Sean Spear back as minister. There's hope, he said. There's grace. There's restoration. Bada-beep, bada-boop, bada-bop. All this other holy moly crap, you know? There's a lot of tax-free dollars to be made in that freaking business. Let me tell you that right now. Speaking of dreams,
mm-hmm.
You know what I dreamed about last night? Maybe not last night, early this morning before the alarm went off.
Food.
Yeah. Chinese food.
Okay.
Sliced beef with all kinds of shrooms, man. I don't know about you, but I love mushrooms.
I do.
I'm not talking about magic mushrooms. I love
shrooms.
Shrooms and onions. I've told you that before. I could, if I weren't so lazy, maybe I need to get the Vegematic. You know, slicing the onions is a pain in the grass.
Oh, well, they have the little cheap slicers out there.
Slicing and chopping.
Run it one time through, it slices it all up.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, man. Shrooms and onions. I could eat that. That and that only for the rest of my life. I know that sounds ridiculous, because after the first day,
I like both of them also.
I like them a lot. And, of course, I would like to, maybe on the side, like a little macaroni and cheese. Kraft.
Yeah.
Just a joke. It's just a joke. I don't eat no Kraft macaroni and cheese, okay? Although at the upstairs at the track at Woodbine, they have, like a little cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a fairly decent. I'll tell you where they got the best. At least they used to. I haven't been there in years. At Calder Racetrack, had the best macaroni and cheese in the cafeteria.
Mm.
It's got to be like, you know, it's always better like the second day, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Mm. And if it's almost burned a little bit, you know, like a little, you know what I mean, like crispy on the outside, like a casserole.
Right. Mm. Or you ever bake it? You ever make macaroni and cheese and then bake it with the cheese on top? So the cheese is all bubbling and popping.
Shut up. 1,200. Yeah, exactly. I hope you eat 15 tons of ice cream tomorrow and you explode right there.
Probably.
Josh has to bring a pail and a bucket.
I need to cut the crap.
Just to clean your ass up there tomorrow. And he says he ain't going to do it either, by the way. You don't want to touch the best part of it if you could find it. Now, what you said, Josh?
Right, plus I'll be eating a tub of my own.
And he's got his own tub.
All for me.
And he said he don't want you getting in there with him, just like in Talented Mr. Ripley. Remember that?
Matt Damon,
hop in the tub with Jude Law? Well, why not? I wouldn't mind getting up in the tub with Matt Damon. Not with Jude Law, though. He's, he's not bad, but he's more your type. Heterosexual. How satisfied are you with the election results? 1,280 votes. I'm ecstatic, 413. Ecstatic. They're dancing a Kozatsky, baby. Happy, 393. Happy. Not ecstatic, but happy. I'm squeezing myself, 290, which is, I think, even beyond ecstatic, isn't it?
That works.
Depends on how long they squeeze themselves. I still don't care, 92. Not happy, 56. Suicidal, 22, and I hate this poll, 14. 1%, only I hate this poll. Not happy, 56. Wouldn't that be a great slogan for QAM?
Okay.
Like when the numbers come out. Like when Clarence goes running around, oh, gee, Rogers was number one again, and even that little craphead George, but our sports numbers suck, you know. Maybe there's a message in there for you, Clarence. Too much freaking sports. Too much repetition. Too much narrowcasting, man. Narrowcasting. It's like that story about the UM, you know, and the guys spitting on the poor players.
Mm-hmm.
These are like overgrown children. Haven't I talked about this about a billion times over the years about these guys? You know, it's one thing if you go to a game, like when I go to a hockey game, I wear my Leafs jacket, which, you know, why the hell not? You know, it's colder than hell in the arena. You're going to wear a jacket anyway, so why not wear my make-believe jacket, right? Because that's my team. But, I mean, guys who, like, in their regular lives, I'm not talking about at a sporting event, but just day-to-day, they walk around and they got their hurricane jacket on and a cap. These are overgrown children who refuse to give it up. Give it up for Jesus, for Christ's sakes. Isn't that what Brady Quinn says at Notre Dame? Give it up for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Give it up for Brady. I wouldn't mind giving it up for Brady, although not what you might have in mind. No, I don't give that up for anyone. Not no more. Wouldn't do that again, especially not an old guy like me. Oh, man. Woo! I'm not one of those guys that wants to rock around like side saddle all the time. That's bad.
Mm-hmm. Bowlegged.
1,283. Although, you know, if he was here, I'd have to probably consider it.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers.
All depends on what he'll find, you know.
This is Jennifer Lopez. I have to take my hormones every day to keep the hair from growing back around my nipples. And that's when I listen to the Neil Rogers 12 to 1 hour.
One step closer to being a dad. Maddox and baby Zahara now have his name. But is it the first step to Mr. and Mrs. Smith becoming Mr. and Mrs. Pitt?
How long will it take till we get a break?
Give me a break.
From the coverage of Brad and the mother-to-be.
There are two new kids in Hollywood even before Brad and Angie have their baby.
No other stories. Getting real boring.
I'm just bored today.
I've heard enough of the fair. How about you?
Angelina's kids, Maddox and Zahara's legal names are now officially Joey Pitt.
I say that Hollywood is Brangelina Bill.
A Los Angeles judge today granted the name change.
Woo-hoo! It's a Brad and Angelina assault.
But are Mr. and Mrs. Smith already living happily ever after?
Day after day, their faces won't go. It's a tabloid fault.
But we've got more, Brangelina Dish. Brad's one-time bachelor pad in Malibu is piled high with toys.
Yeah, how about a dish of macaroni and cheese? How's that sound? Mmm. Like you said, like baked macaroni and cheese in a casserole. Real crisp.
Right. It's brown on top.
Some Floridians will see lower. I got something that's brown on top. Some Floridians will see lower electric bills next year thanks to lower costs for some types of fuel, such as natural gas. Speaking of that, but many others will see their rates increase as other fuels get more expensive. Customers of the state's largest electric utility, Florida Plunder and Loot, will benefit from the company's new natural gas power plant, which will cut fuel costs because it's more efficient. The company also projects it will see lower fuel costs overall and is cutting a storm surcharge that will further reduce customers' monthly payments. Oh, don't we just love FP&L?
No.
The new charges were approved yesterday by the State Public Service Commission. We're really pleased to be able to reduce our customers' electric bills, especially at times when a lot of utilities are finding it necessary to increase their rates, said FPL spokesman Jim Davison. We don't like him either. The company's customers will see their rates go from $108.61 for 1,000 kilowatt hours to $103.51, a 4.7% drop. God almighty, that sounds like $5.10. The average customer uses slightly more electricity than that per month, but it's the standard industry benchmark for usage. Customers of other utilities will see higher rates, however. St. Petersburg-based Progress Energy Florida, the state's second-largest electric company, won approval for a fuel charge that will mean an increase of about 80 cents a month for the average consumer. 80 cents a month, even George can't afford that. And Josh, forget about that altogether.
He's going to start living like an Amish.
And Gulf Power, which serves customers in the Panhandle, said rising coal costs are driving its rates up about 10% starting January 1. Its customers will pay $101.87 for 1,000 kilowatt hours, up now from $92.34. Just like many other businesses, our prices have been impacted by rising fuel costs, said Gulf Power spokesman John Hutchinson. That's in the Panhandle. We don't care about that. We ain't got nobody listening in the Panhandle, do we? I hope not. You think? No.
We got to.
Get out of here. In the Panhandle, like maybe in Tallahassee, maybe fat-ass outgoing Governor Fat-ass Jeb Bush, maybe him and his cronies are listening there during the lunch hour now. They're all gathered around their computer listening online. Oh, there's that crazy fag Neil again. Yeah. Customers of Tampa Electric will pay $101.87 for 1,000 kilowatt hours, up about 5%. Utilities are allowed to recover only the cost of buying fuel and power from other customers, and their forecast for those costs must be approved by the PSC. The companies aren't allowed to make a profit on the fuel charges, and yada, yada, yada. You know, speaking of the Tampa area, I was checking some things online, and then I went to our website, and I saw that nice tribute that you put on or somebody put on there to Lassiter.
Eric put on with my help. I fed him.
And I clicked that thing
material
to the blog, which is still up there, mm-hmm. and thanks to Lassiter's wife, Mary. And it's like kind of surreal, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In other words, like, I don't know how to describe it. But when you get in the habit of reading when somebody's got a blog and they have entries all the time, even when you know that they're not going to be around much longer, you get the feeling it's always going to be there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Am I expressing myself well or not? Probably not.
Sure, good enough.
It just ain't there no more. It's kind of hard to describe. It's hard to say. Like Johnny Mattress would say, it's not for me to say. Is that what he said? You don't have that.
I don't.
1,302 votes on the poll. Conservative activist Richard Viguerie has released a statement that blasts the GOP's congressional leadership in the wake of the loss of both the House and the Senate. By the way, MSNBC is reporting that, like I told you, Senator McCaukowitz will concede at 3 this afternoon the Senate race in Virginia to Jim Webb. Democrats have the Senate 51-49. Of course, that's a little bit on the shaky side because one of those two that put him over to 49 was an independent by the name of Jew Lieberman. Bernie Sanders we can count on from Vermont. Jew Lieberman, who knows? Depending on which way the wind is blowing and which way his talus is blowing in the wind. He holds his talus up in the air. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And whichever way the wind is blowing, that's the way he blows. Every single member of the Republican leadership in the House should be replaced, said Viguerie. They failed the conservatives who put them in office, and they failed the people of this country. Viguerie attacks what he described as the big business wing of the Republican Party and urges GOP leaders to get out of the way and let a new generation of young principled conservatives take their place, according to the release. So where do we find them? Young principled conservatives. Congressional Republicans should move as fast as they can to distance themselves from the Bush White House, Viguerie said. That's the only way to come back from this disaster. He said yesterday's midterm elections, meaning Tuesday, were referendum on Bush and his war in Iraq. Voters couldn't vote to fire Bush, so they did the next best thing. They fired his party in the House and the Senate and in state houses all around the nation. This election, Viguerie said, was also a referendum on the so-called neoconservatives, the big government Republicans who took us into a nation-building war while they busted the budget and rich big business and its K Street lobbyists. Viguerie said the only thing Denny Hastert and company cared about was holding on to power. That's what led them to become kings of pork. That's what led them to protect the likes of Mark Foley. Pork, which it looks, if you look at Hastert, it seems to me that that's one thing he had in common with Mark Foley. They both were really big on pork. One thing this election was not, Viguerie writes, is a repudiation of conservatism. The twin pillars of conservatism, smaller government and traditional values, have the support of the same voters who threw out the Republican Congress, he said. That's Richard Viguerie. He used to be like Mr. Bigwig in the Republican Party. Now he's pissed off and fired up. He's had it. He's had it. You got it?
Got it.
Good. 1,306 votes on the poll. I just mention those numbers every now and then because there are a lot of people out there like sitting on the edge of their seat. Boy, sliced beef with nice Chinese mushrooms sounds awfully good. And like a nice beef gravy.
Do you have a wok?
I beg your pardon?
Do you have a wok, you know, like for stir fry?
I walk a lot. I don't have a wok.
Okay.
Why?
We don't either, but it just sounds like something that would be good to make that what you're talking about.
Or I could just call and order takeout. Sounds like much better to me. But then, of course, God only knows what kind of crap is in there, including sugar.
That's right.
Why the hell they do that, I have no idea, but I've discovered.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, who the hell wants their meat to be sweet? Well, no, don't touch that.
Yeah. Gonna
Tom Hayden says Iraq wins. Can I move along, please? Pretty please. Tom Hayden says Iraq wins the election. What now? Isn't that what I said yesterday? The election's over. What do we do now? That's what I'm thinking. Tom says as the campaign began, consultants and bigwigs of both parties sought to keep Iraq from becoming an election issue. To their credit, the American voters disagreed, insisted on changing course, and let Iraq become the critical factor in overthrowing a rigged Republican majority. Now what? For sure, Representative Henry Waxman will hold the gavel and subpoena power for hearings into war profiteering by corporate contractors. The issue surfacing in civil society, for example, through distribution of Robert Greenwald's film Iraq for Sale, will suddenly be exposed under the glare of congressional hearings. This is not a scandal at the margins, but a mortal threat to one of the pillars of the war. In recent days, both Kohl and Bechtel have quit Iraq. Others will follow, according to a strategic forecasting report available to insiders in the security business. That November 3rd memo says other contractors will leave the theater of operations when the risks get too great. The strategic threat is that the combat capability of the U.S. Army is breaking because the contractors support it relies on won't be there. In short, the Pentagon doesn't have the military capability of filling in for its private contractors who are profit-oriented. Some Democrats will join Republicans and try to rein Waxman in, but it appears that the contractors have lost much of their previous bipartisan immunity. Indeed, the contractors may wish to avoid the negative publicity and possible subpoenas that are sure to result from any serious Waxman hearings. In addition, the Democrats are sure to hold hearings and use subpoena power to get to the bottom of other ugly truths of the Iraq war, like the administration fixing the facts to go to war. The airing of these issues is welcome and overdue, but the Iraq war will not end. The administration will continue the conflict into the 2008 election year. The Democrats refuse to end it. The national security elites believe America's image as a superpower is at stake. We've heard it all before. No one's willing to lose a war, even when they know the war is unwinnable. It is possible, of course, that the bottom will drop out of the military effort, resulting in a military defeat and debacle, but the administration will avoid that outcome at all costs. The anti-war movement and their supporters in Congress, therefore, will need to pursue an inside-outside strategy. On the inside, they'll have to mobilize the out-of-Iraq caucus around an exit strategy alternative, including such proposals as, one, the appointment of a peace envoy to begin a process of conflict resolution instead of military occupation, two, setting a deadline for bringing our troops home within a year, and three, at the same time, ending the formal occupation and requesting the UN appoint an international consortium to work with the Iraqis on security, economics, and reconciliation. The White House may wish to lure the Democrats into a bipartisan or no-fault approach to Iraq in order to extend the war while defusing it as an issue with voters. They may even have to sacrifice Donald Rumsfeld. See, that this is written before he had to resign, as a gesture to gain time for new leadership. It is almost certain that they'll replace the current Iraqi regime with a strongman to go after the Mahdi army of Muqtada al-Sadr, the main Shiite leader who wants the U.S. to withdraw its troops. And finally, both parties will hide behind the recommendations of the bipartisan Baker-Hamilton study group, which is likely to propose a partial redeployment. The Democrats' successful House campaign strategist Rahm Emanuel, who never wanted to make Iraq an issue, already suggesting such a new bipartisanship, even as the polls show that Tuesday night's new American majority believes the Democratic Party will end the war sooner than the Republicans. These are steps in the right direction, but only baby steps. The Vietnam War continued for seven senseless years after the Paris peace talks began. While scaling back its original victory plans, the U.S. still wants to station tens of thousands of troops in a subdued and perhaps partitioned Iraq and wants the issue neutralized by those 2008 elections. The peace movement, therefore, needs to gear up for the 2008 elections by establishing anti-war coalitions that no candidate can avoid in the primary states. The first four states, Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina, have large peace and justice constituencies. The electoral anti-war movement is a big winner of the 2006 elections, especially the legions of activists associated with MoveOn.org. Having virtually abandoned the Iraq issue in the 6 months following the 2004 election, MoveOn presumably has learned to stay with the issue. But can this movement sustain itself in the face of bipartisan efforts to neutralize Iraq as an issue? Should that movement align with an anti-war candidate or be an online independent force pressuring candidates from both parties? Can it connect with domestic constituencies like the fair trade movement, the environmental anti-big oil movement, and Katrina's victims? Whatever the answers to these complicated questions, peace advocates will have to keep up pressure on the pillars of the war policy until those pillars fall. Tuesday night, the Democratic Party has fallen as a pillar of bipartisan support, and so has Bechtel. So have several generals overtly and covertly. So have the neocons. The pillar of the armed forces is breaking. So is the coalition of the willing. Above all, 60% of the Iraqi people are demanding a U.S. withdrawal timetable, and 60% endorse armed struggle against the Americans. The next weeks and months will reveal the balance between democracy and empire. That's what Tom Hayden says. And, of course, remember who he was married to.
That's right.
Jane Fonda. It's got nothing to do with anything. I just thought I'd say that. Well, there's Rick Santorum and his family. They're crying. Too bad. You got walloped, baby. You and your fascist mentality, you lunatic, you crazy person. The family looked like it just stepped off the spaceship. If there's anybody out there wondering if the ship has landed, just take a look at Santorum's family.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 UAM. The biggest names, the best talent. It's the Kenny and Bo Morning Show.
Chuck Norris joins us. Chuck, when you watch some of these Hollywood guys, you know, doing the, you know, do you as the real deal? I mean, do you see that stuff and just shake your head? Does it make you crazy?
Well, I don't know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of them are, you know, Jackie Chan's a good friend of mine, and, you know, Jet Li, and a lot of them are legit guys, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of them aren't, are they?
Well, I'm not going to bring that up.
Weekday 7 to 10, Sports Radio 560, QAM.
Tonight on Fox, lock up the bagels and cream cheese and prepare for a wild ride when Fox presents When Jews Attack, sponsored by the committee to elect George W. Bush and by KFC, where you can get the new GOP bucket. The GOP bucket is all white meat, right wings, and only $29.95. When Jews Attack, tonight on Fox.
Jerusalem from me. How about who comes out of Galilee? We was afraid that you still hate Jews, cause making peace is hard to do.
I know that we used to fight. My little gun made people real uptight. What you are isn't just one too. About the West Bank and Gaza too. It's true, you know that we don't want more bloodshed. My own people wish to unwrap my head. If this is all that you got, I'm afraid I might end up the slut. And once that, I never thought we would get this far.
But I was shaking hands with Ringo Starr.
Let's get a pig and have a barbecue.
Cause making peace is hard to do. I can't beat pork, you schmuck.
But it's on sale. 20 past noon at 560 WQM. Happy Thursday to you. Mad Dog at 2, then the big power hour, 4 to 5. Everybody in town is talking about that power hour at the water cooler, aren't they? Humper and the Mad Dog between 4 and 5 together in stereo. Then the Humper solo between 5 and 7. And then you got that hurricane crap. Eddie K at 10 o'clock tonight. Cable News Network MSNBC is reporting that Senator George Mikowicz Allen is set to concede his race for re-election at 3 o'clock this afternoon. The move would give Democrats official control of the Senate. Incumbent Republican Senator Conrad Burns is likely barred by Montana law from requesting a recount, but he has yet to concede because he's a hard ass. Nevertheless, he's out. He's out. Mikowicz is out. It's a done deal. Oh, no. CBS newsman Ed Bradley is out of leukemia.
Oh, no.
How do you like that?
Watching that now.
For quite some time. And Ed Bradley, though, such a dedicated journalist. He started his career in radio, made a name for himself. In Vietnam, as so many, this early generation of journalists really has won a Lifetime Achievement Emmy, did a report for 60 Minutes on brain cancer patients called A New Lease on Life. He did another hour on 60 Minutes, too, about the sexual abuse in the Catholic Church. There was not a story that Ed Bradley would not pursue with
he's dead now, Ed Bradley, from 60 Minutes and CBS News. Good journalist. John Bolton's troubled nomination as U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. is going nowhere, a key Democratic senator said today after the party scored those big-term victories in mid-elections, whatever I just said. Joe Biden of Delaware is expected to chair the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and I never saw any real enthusiasm for Bolton's nomination on the Republican side to begin with, said Biden. There's none on our side, and I think John Bolton is going nowhere, he said. Maybe back home for a little trim of his mustache. Mr. Bolton, the controversial former Undersecretary of State in charge of nonproliferation, was nominated by President George W. Bush to be U.N. envoy March 2005. But after his confirmation was blocked in the Republican-led Senate, Bush made a recess appointment, which will last until the new Congress convenes in January. After Tuesday's elections, Democrats now control the House and the Senate. Before voters cast their ballots, there was talk of Bush resubmitting Bolton's nomination. Guess what? It's dead as a doornail. Another piece of good news. And what's this fax? It says, spent part of the summer at the Jersey Shore and heard Johnny Dark on WJRZ 100.1 in Toms River, New Jersey. How do you like that? Johnny Dark, our good old buddy, is back in Jersey, a match made in heaven. You know Johnny Dark.
Johnny Dark!
Or I could play the other one.
Johnny Dark!
Yeah, whole. But anyway, let's see. Here are some other names from Trenton. Barry Cohen. Well, what does this mean? Oh, I see. In case you're on a quiz show, some other names from Trenton. Oh, people from Trenton. Judith Light, Richie Cole, John Stewart, Ernie Kovacs, Tom Chavone, owner of the Parrot in Fort Lauderdale, says, I'm back at Shula's on the beach in Fort Lauderdale. Well, what does this mean? I'm back at Shula's on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, Friday and Saturday, 7 to 11. Billy Frederick.
Oh, Billy, that's the piano man. He's plugging himself.
Well, that was obvious. That became obvious. I thought this was somebody who was like a buddy of ours. You know him?
I don't know if I've met him. Might have come to an appearance.
He's the piano man. Does he know Billy Joel? I hope not, because if he is, if he knows Billy Joel, the hell with that. Piano man my ass. And that's something. I'm back. Like, who cares, okay? Go get a billboard. We don't get any promotion here on this radio station. We don't even have any guy out there with a sandwich board on Lincoln Road Mall, much less anything important, you know. Any real promotion? A no-nonsense Cape Cod judge threw the book at a college kid for wearing shorts in his courtroom during the high-profile Worthington murder trial, locking the sloppy student up with the accused killer. This is from the Boston Herald. Just in case you're writing it down on your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
The Cape Cod Community College student, whose name has not been released, was tossed into a cell with Christopher McCowan, a garbage collector on trial for the 2002 slaying of fashion writer Krista Worthington. Barnstable Superior Court Judge Gary... Don't you love those New England names? Barnstable.
Mm-hmm. I'll take one.
Superior Court Judge Gary Nickerson had court officers lock up the student after he was told to leave the courtroom for wearing shorts, but he wouldn't leave. Kind of a punk goes into a courtroom with a bunch of shorts on.
Stupid punk.
According to a report in the Massachusetts Lawyers Weekly, the student was placed into a holding area with McCowan, who was charged with stabbing Worthington to death in her Truro home. The student reportedly was at the courthouse on a class assignment to watch the explosive trial, which has prompted a media circus. Barnstable Superior Court Clerk Scott Nickerson, who is not related to the judge, confirmed the student was detained, but said he wasn't formally charged with contempt. Scott Nickerson declined comment when asked if the student was put in a cell with McCowan. I'm not going to comment on why the individual was said. He said Judge Nickerson could be reached for comment. One courthouse source said Nickerson has a reputation as a tough but fair judge who demands the proper attire in his courtroom. He'll tell people, this isn't Fenway Park, go tuck in your shirt. He's also been known to chastise people for public displays of affection in the courthouse, especially if they get a little bit too carried away. Maybe he needs that pump from that other judge. So, you know what I'm talking about? That penis pump,
that
remember
one.
That guy?
I do, right under the robe there.
Anyway. So Ed Bradley is there. There's some bad news for him. Good news, the election's over, and we got the McCockowitz going to concede the three. The bad news.
And he attended those interests just as diligently as he did his work for 60 Minutes.
Ed Bradley's dead. Well, that's going
Johnny
on.
Johnny Dawson!
Oh, geez, that would have been really bad.
Yeah.
Oh. That would have been a mistake on your part.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
So beautiful.
Mel Gibson surrounded by questions about alcohol and anger, but also questions about anti-Semitism and the words that incited outrage after an explosive public drama. We interviewed Mel Gibson at his office.
Take me back to that moment as you remember it.
Okay.
Were you drinking from the open bottle of tequila in the car?
Yes. I had a couple of slugs, yeah.
Do you know how many?
20.
I read to him the officer's account of the words he used that night. Explicit Jews. And the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world.
Yeah.
I do not believe tequila can turn an unbiased person into a raging anti-Semite.
Look, let me be real clear here, in sobriety, sitting here in front of you, national television, that I believe that Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world.
He's still blaming the Jews.
Absolutely. I hate you and I want you to die.
Coming up.
A couple of drinks.
Wait a minute. Alcohol.
Oh, yeah. I have to get loaded again.
1232. He's a real credit to the subhuman race that Mel Gibson. Governor-elect Charlie Crist.
Yay.
Appointed a transition team yesterday to pave the way toward his January the 2nd inauguration and the dozens of key appointments he'll have to make as the new governor. I can't wait to see the follow-up article in the Broward Palm Beach New Times about Charlie Crist. Can you wait?
I can't wait, but we will.
We're going to be bipartisan, said Charlie. We're going to do what is right, Chris said at his first news conference since defeating Democrat Jim Davis on Tuesday. Maybe we can't get Jim Davis to win, but how about if we bring back Butch Davis? I am so sick and tired of the sports nerds on our station, including my good close personal friends, with this obsession with Butch Davis. Bring back Butch Davis. What a yahoo he is, man. I don't care if he won 85 of bowl games, okay? He sends me right to the bowl, Butch Davis. You know what I'm saying, Josh?
I know what you're saying.
That's all they talk about on this station. Oh, we got to bring back Butch Davis. Get rid of that old Larry Cokehead. You know, he's an old fuddy-duddy. Well, and they lost three games, and this weekend they'll be four already. Or they lose four.
Yeah, they lost four.
They are 5-4?
That's correct.
The Miami Hurricane football team has lost four games. How do you like that? Anyway, it's just so pathetic. It's important that we be bipartisan, Chris said. Florida needs to come together. Oh, I got a line for that. I'll do everything to work for all parties, all ideologies. We're going to work hard, and we started already, he said. Members of the transition team will have to meet strict ethical guidelines, and appointments to the administration will be based on integrity, diversity, perversity, competence, and a shared vision, said Roberto Martinez, who was named chairman of the team, another guy whose name, with a name ends in Z. Martinez, a Coral Gables lawyer, headed Chris' transition team when Chris was elected attorney general in 2002. Kathleen Shanahan, a veteran of national and state politics, included in stint as Governor Jeb Bush's chief of staff, was named vice chairman. She's in charge of vice. George Lemieux, described by Chris as the maestro of his campaign, was named executive director of the transition. Chris Keiss, Crist, former Solicitor General, is the Deputy Executive Director. I wonder who he'll be soliciting. While Crist was naming his transition team, Davis was closing his campaign. That's sad.
Aww.
Davis spoke to reporters Wednesday outside his campaign headquarters, a one-story building in a rundown Tampa neighborhood, as some of his campaign staff exchanged melancholy hugs. I'm very proud of the race we ran. He said we overcame insurmountable odds in this race. We were outspent by over $30 million.
About 30, man.
Despite that, we finished with just a 7-point margin. We won the Hispanic vote here in Florida, the first time a statewide Democratic candidate has done that since Bill Clinton. I didn't know that, did you? They won the Hispanic vote?
How do you like that?
I do. There's hope. Davis did not rule out a future run for office. After I get things settled at home, I'll have some time to think about my future, he said. There'll be another day for the state and maybe another day for me, too. Meanwhile, Crist was deep into meetings yesterday planning his move into the governor's office. I wonder if he's going to move his boyfriends in there. He had telephone conversations with fat-ass Governor Bush and Senate President-designate Ken Pruitt and was expecting to talk to House Speaker-designate Marco Rubio later in the day. Oh, boy. What a... So they're making quite a to-do here about Ed Bradley dying.
He really has accomplished a lot, and you know, he could be controversial, and he could be difficult, as a television star as they tend to be, and he could be confrontational when he needed to be, but what a body of work.
It is remarkable. And
that Howard Kurtz said of Ed Bradley, what a body. Oh, boy. That Howie Kurtz, what a jackass. Ian Williams writes, Bush crony to head UN food program. How do you like that? The beat goes on.
Gee, what a shock.
As Americans voted Tuesday in what may well have been a referendum on Bush administration policies at home and abroad, U.S. Ambassador John Bolton once again breached U.N. protocol in New York, this time by prematurely announcing the appointment of former Washington Times editor Josette Schiner to head the World Food Program. I wonder if she's kin to, like, Herb Schreiner or Schiner. Schiner, currently Undersecretary of State for Economic Business and Agricultural Affairs, is tasked with pushing American business interests abroad. A longtime member of the Washington Times owner Sun Myung Moon's Unification Church, Schiner left the paper in 97 and the church in 96. A Mooney. The Bush administration's practice of favoring of ideological and dynastic loyalty over competence was responsible for FEMA's abysmal performance during Hurricane Katrina, with Schiner's appointment may well contribute to similar debacles worldwide. Shiner's main qualification for the Bush appointment was the many years she spent ensuring that Moon's Washington Times flew the flag for the most atavistic brands of conservatism in the nation's capital. The other main candidate for the position was another American, the experienced and competent Tony Banbury, head of WFP in Asia. Well, experienced and competent don't cut it with this crowd. Americans have long regarded the World Food Program as their own, and with some justification, it was conceptualized by the Eisenhower administration in 1960... and launched in 62 as a means of recycling American agricultural surpluses, and because the Kennedy administration was at loggerheads with Dr. Vinay Ranjan Sen, then director of the Food and Agricultural Organization. The WFP has done some good work regardless of the myriad altruism of it, marred altruism of its origins, but Oxfam and other critics have raised serious questions about the economic effects on local agricultural viability of throwing free subsidized U.S. food surpluses into countries. Those questions are likely to remain unanswered as Schiner advances the interests of U.S. agribusiness. Oh, I think she ought to get a Schiner. At any rate, more cronyism, more of the same BS. As if, you know, as if he's going to change, something's going to change with this crowd. They're a bunch of crooks, man. Now they realize the clock is running. They got only 2 years left to grab as much as they can, and they're going to be grabbing it and grubbing it and squeezing it. You know what I'm saying? That's right. 1,360 votes on the poll. I think we got a real heavy shot at 14 today. I'm not going through that 1,500 crap again. You know, it's just too much stress, too much pressure. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Too much stress.
Absolutely.
And too much freaking pressure. That's the last thing an old doddering fag like me needs, especially when his blood sugar is too high. And you want to know why it's too high? I'm not going to tell you.
Not that ice cream.
I didn't have any ice cream last night.
Oh, good.
I did have some of that low-carb pasta, though. And then I had, you see, what I've discovered is that stuff is very good, and it's not really, really bad on your blood sugar. It's not good, but it's not that bad. But then what it does is stimulates my appetite for candy.
Oh, boy.
For sugar. What?
Candy.
Candy what?
Candy kills.
Well, I just had two Hershey's bars with nuts, too.
I see, yeah.
Those real skinny ones, you know, those real skin-tight
right.
wrappers, the brand-new ones, you know? Wasn't a good idea. Not a good idea. All you diabetics out there, if you're going to cheat, don't be doing it like close to bedtime, like a couple hours before you go to sleep, because then your blood sugar is, what?
Hmm?
Skyrockets, man. It's way up there, zooming up there. And then you wake up in the morning, you're like that other time. Remember that? No, you weren't working then back then.
During your stroke day?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I was at the station, but I was not working with you on the show.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm doing my show. I did a four-hour show after I'd had a stroke in my sleep. And leave it to IOD, man. Leave it to these grave robbers at any of these stations. They don't care.
Mm-mm.
I'm sitting there slurring my words. You're more than usual. You know, like my jaw is where my ass is supposed to be. And like, hey, Neil, how's it going? He's really funny. Like that. And then probably your buddy Marvin was working back in that day. Wouldn't you think?
Either he or Nick.
Well, either one of them's. Well, just the aroma from Nick would be enough to make me swoon. I'll tell you that right now. He did not emit a pleasant aroma. In fact, could put you in a coma.
Or a
20 till 1 at QAM.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Kick his ass and then I'll steal his toupee.
Did you see our ratings for the last book?
Yeah, I know whose fault that is.
Sure, couldn't possibly be us.
Watch your back, Zach. Well, you won't wait for no. Watch your back, Zach. Well, you won't wait for no more.
I got enough I gotta think about on top of getting raped in, and I don't need a rating that's a -8.
Don't care what you do, long as it's understood. You gotta wait a little harder on the guest you book.
Or else you got to go. There's a lot of fat producers, you know.
That's right, watch your back, Zach. Or you won't wait for no more. Watch your back, Zach. Or you won't wait for no more.
Oh, brother, all that blubber, I don't understand. You can eat from a trough while using both hands.
You big fat prick, you made a rating fool. You just like Clinton, it's all your fault.
Better straighten your fat ass out.
Or we'll take the food out of your mouth.
That's right.
Watch your back, Jack. Boy, you won't wait for no more. Watch your back, Jack. Boy, you won't wait for no more.
This is what we say!
Top 46 at 560. By the way, if you missed our morning show, Kenny and Bo morning show this morning, we're sorry that you missed it. Although the good news for you is you missed that. Did we ever find out why he was on there this morning?
No.
Oh. Why do you say it that way? You're supposed to be on top of these things, especially right. If you're going to be having lunch with Joe Bell today and be jumping up and down on the table in the restaurant and carrying on like Rumpelstiltskin and demanding all sorts of things like a lot more money for you and Josh.
Right.
And at least for you anyway. He ain't going to demand any more money for you, Josh. Don't expect him to go to bat for you.
Right.
I'll give you a good example. 10 times I've asked this man, 10 times. If I've asked you once, I've asked you 100. And, of course, you're on vacation that week, so you don't care about Thanksgiving.
And about that, Christmas, that's what the conversation that we had the last time we talked about.
No, about Thanksgiving.
Well, we didn't talk about
Christmas. We got taken care of. We got that lit.
Right, something.
I hope we do, because I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be here. But Thanksgiving, you know, inquiring minds would like to know what the deal is that day. Do we have a ball game of some kind? Do we have some crap they're going to put on? What is going to happen on this air between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on Thursday, December 20, November, whatever the hell it is, 23rd, 2 weeks from today?
Okay.
Is that Thanksgiving? Look on the calendar. Make sure it's the right Thanksgiving.
Yeah, sure. You're 2 weeks from today.
Okay. I mean, I think probably Josh would like to know if he's supposed to report for duty that day. Wouldn't you like to know, Josh?
Well, I'm not coming in, but, yeah. There you have it.
Well, guess what? Neither am I. How do you like that?
There you go. And I'll be on vacation.
Punk.
So.
If a little punk like you can say that, then I'm sure he's not going to be here. But George is on vacation. So, in other words, just make sure you pass that along.
I will.
Thursday, November 23rd is Thanksgiving, and to make sure they put some crap on there. Like the best of a Geldy would be there. So anyway, here's some more on the story. There's really not that much more to say. Ed Bradley, the veteran 60 Minutes correspondent, one of the pioneering black journalists of his generation, died of leukemia today. He was 65. Bradley had won 19 Emmy Awards, covered an incredible array of stories after joining the CBS News magazine in 1981, from brain cancer to sexual abuse in the Catholic Church to the high school shootings at Columbine. He also reported a number of award-winning documentaries, covered political conventions, and filled in on the CBS Evening News other programs. Bradley remained active on 60 Minutes, but he had been ill for some time and underwent heart surgery about a year ago. He was this gentle giant, said Bob Schieffer, CBS's old fuddy-duddy chief Washington correspondent and close friend. He just did so much for many, so many African-American kids. He was a great role model. Ed Bradley's dead at 65, leukemia. Okay? Rumsfeld's out. Now, why couldn't Rumsfeld be dead and Ed Bradley still alive? See if there was a God?
Right.
That's the way it would work. Don't you think?
Well, he's a cruel God, you know.
Yeah, and he works in mysterious ways. 1,379 votes on that poll. I guarantee if Josh would have really gotten behind us today, really given a big push, we'd have made 15 again, but we don't want to do that. Do we? Well, whatever we get, you know. We'll be very happy. We're easy to please today. Right?
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Especially when you got all that ice cream and wieners coming in tomorrow, those footlongs, those big giant wieners. One of the main architects of the Israeli weapons industry last night called on his government to end the tactic of artillery bombardment of the Gaza Strip after a volley of errant shells rained on civilian homes, killing 19 Palestinians. Oops, oops. Arms experts Bon and Zeev called the weapon systems too inaccurate to expect no civilian casualties. The 15-minute Israeli cannon barrage over the hard-hit northern Gaza town of Beit Hanun killed 16 members of a single Palestinian family, including 8 children ages 4 to 17 and 7 women. Several of the victims were killed in their sleep when the first of these shells blasted into 2 houses belonging to the same family. The rest were cut down by shrapnel from 11 additional shell strikes after rushing outside to escape the early morning bombardment, which came just hours after the Israeli Defense Force announced it was withdrawing from the besieged town after a week-long hunt for Palestinian rocket launch crews. Oops. Oops. Israeli leaders expressed regret and launched an immediate investigation into the circumstances of the attack, which injured 53 Palestinians, making it the worst single-day tragedy of its kind in 4 years. Palestinian leaders declared a 3-day strike of mourning amid vows of revenge for militant leaders in Gaza, the West Bank, and Damascus. The bloody scene at Beit Hanun was eerily reminiscent of the explosion last June that killed 8 members of a Palestinian family enjoying a picnic on a Gaza beach, an event that soon spiraled into tit-for-tat kidnappings and counterattacks that culminated eventually in Israel's war with the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. Tit-for-tat. A probe of the beach blast cleared the Israeli army of any wrongdoing, concluding a Palestinian-planted explosive was the likely cause. Amid widespread international condemnation yesterday, military officials appeared to acknowledge responsibility for the shelling, which they described as preventative fire intended to strike a suspected Palestinian rocket launch some 500 meters from the town. Oops, bad aim. Anyway, it goes on in life. I don't want it. It's just too depressing, you know?
Right.
It just goes on and on. How's that peace process coming, by the way? There's another tremendous accomplishment of the Bush administration in these almost 6 years now. What a tremendous job they're doing. Peace is in our hand. And then, of course, when we found out that Henry Kissinger had his fat nose stuck in the middle of all this, that was enough to really give everybody the gas. Triumphant U.S. congressional Democratic leaders began to flex their new political muscle yesterday by urging President Bush to host a bipartisan summit on the Iraq War and find common ground with them on such domestic issues as education and health care. House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic leader the comatose Harry Reid said the American people voted for change in Tuesday's elections. I hope that he will listen, Pelosi said at a news conference after receiving a congratulatory telephone call from Bush. They're having lunch right now, as a matter of fact. I bet you their lunch is more exquisite and more expensive and more delicious than yours is going to be.
Probably.
I told him last night when I said that I look forward to working in a bipartisan way with him, said Nancy, that the success of the president is always good for the country. I hope we could work together for the American people. Reid said it's time to put partisanship aside and find a new way forward at home and in Iraq. You know, they talk all this crap about partisanship, putting it aside, all this other crap. But in the meantime, we got the presidential election on everybody's mind right now, even though we just finished up with the other one. In case you joined us late, Mikakowicz is going to concede at 3 this afternoon. 1390, man. I don't know any station 1390 on the dial. I remember 1360 WKET, and I wonder how my old buddy Sid Levin's doing. Happy Yeshivuah, Sid, whatever it's coming up. Happy Simchas Torah. 1392, 100 years before Chris Columbus set sail on the Ninta, the Pinta, and the Cinta Marinta. Speaking of that, the San Francisco 49ers ended negotiations with the city about building a new stadium and planned to move. If you had a team like that, you'd probably invite them to move, wouldn't you, Josh? They stink.
Yeah.
Either to Santa Clara or somewhere else in California, the AP learned last night. Owner John York notified Mayor Gavin Newsom of the team's decision earlier in the day. Team spokesman Aaron Salkin declined to comment last night. Messages seeking comment were left on the office and cell phone of Lisa Lang, the 49ers vice president for communications. I wonder if Lisa's kin to Mike Lang. The sides have been talking over the last few months about building a privately financed stadium at Candlestick Point that was going to be part of the city's bid for the 2016 Summer Olympics. Ragone did not know how the 49ers' decision would impact the Olympic bid. San Francisco, L.A., and Chicago are the 3 cities competing to be the U.S. Olympic Committee's choice to bid on the 2016 Games. But the 49ers are going to be moving up the road, down the road, out in the ocean, somewhere. Nobody wants no part of them no more, and who can blame them? Boy, how the mighty have fallen since those glory days of Joe Montana and Steve Young, right? Bill Walsh? How the mighty have fallen. Take a look at this radio station, for example. You know what I'm talking about, George?
No. What?
How the once mighty have fallen. You might tell that to Joe Bell in the middle of your lunch. He'll probably slap you in the face and walk out.
Well, when was it when the station was mighty? How long ago was that?
Was what?
Mighty.
Once upon a time in America, don't you remember?
Oh, yeah.
We had the little dog on in the morning. We had the Mo on in the early morning when everybody was still sleeping. And then we had little dog. I think back in the spring of, two and a half years ago, we were still Mighty. And now we're like more like Mighty Mouse. Did any other kids read Mighty Mouse, or was I the only one? Everybody liked Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
Okay. I like Mighty Mouse.
Mickey Mouse sucked.
Well, I don't want to get personal now.
Mickey Mouse was never
fun. That sounds like something that has to do with, like, Disney World.
Eisner!
You know? Because I'm sure there's plenty of that going on there. Now, wasn't Mighty Mouse yellow?
His outfit was, but he was black.
Well, I don't want to get into his racial background. I'm talking about his outfit. He wore a yellow outfit, Mighty
Mouse. Yes, he did.
And what did he do? Was he like a crime-fighting mouse? I don't remember.
All the time. Fighting crime.
Like
flying
Spider-Man.
Around.
Kind of like Spider-Man, only like, you know. 1,396, we're going to have 1,400 votes by the top of the hour by 1 o'clock. And, boy, are we proud of that. I think we ought to go for 15. What do you say, boys? Not. Why the hell not? No comment, huh?
None.
Just mum.
Whatever.
Dumb and mum. And glum. Well, maybe we could have lunch at Lum's.
Hey, there you go.
Those hot dogs soaked in beer. Isn't that what they used to cook the wieners in beer at Lum's?
I remember. I remember the Lum burgers.
No, the Ollie burgers.
Whatever they were.
You better get it right, mister. You don't, sure don't know your Lum's.
It was a long time ago. For
yeah, it was. I like Wags. I know, there's more of that old stuff. See, these punks today, they're thinking, what the hell are these guys talking about? I bet you Daltz hasn't been around for many years now either, has it?
No, not that I know.
I like Daltz. I'll say it again. They even used to, not only did they put cheese on every item on the menu, on the food items, there was cheese on your seat and cheese on the check. And cheese on your...
Rectum.
When you walked out. That's because it was on the seat, I guess. Daltz. Those are the days, baby. Lots and lots of good places. And not that there aren't a few good places now, but... 1256 at 560 WQAM. If you're expecting guests this holiday season, then it's a great and a smart time to call Dial a Mattress. Just make that one easy call. It'll take care of your problems. 1-800-MATTRESS. Plus, it's Dial a Mattress's 30th birthday. And to celebrate, Dial a Mattress and Simmons are offering you the lowest price of the year on the best-selling Simmons Beauty Rest Pillow Top. You can choose from South Florida's biggest selection of Simmons Beauty Rest with same-day delivery like always. I've been using Dial a Mattress for years, and I would never, ever recommend buying a mattress any other way. Just make the one easy call at 1-800-MATTRESS and get yourself factory-direct prices, award-winning service with no nonsense, and an unbeatable delivery deal that nobody in the world would think of matching. With Dial a Mattress, you just choose the date and time for delivery, and they show up when you want them to, any day of the week, 7 days from 8 in the a.m. till 10 p.m. Even the same day that you call, just give them a two-hour window so you don't have to sit on your ass all day long hoping somebody might show up. Dial a Mattress really delivers. That's why they're ranked number one in the world at customer satisfaction and why everybody at QM uses Dial a Mattress. On the web, give them a look at mattress.com or make that one easy call, 1-800-MATTRESS, 1-800-MATTRESS. Leave off that last S because it stands for sensational, stupendous savings.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560.
Not just the 1 to 2 hour, it's a phenomenon.
Sports Radio 560, QAM.
So, that was quite a game last weekend.
Yeah, we gave 100%. And if we keep the momentum, we may even win the next one.
Now, that would be nice to win a game once in a while. Then we'll be blessed down here, right?
Yeah, then we'll be blessed.
You know, there was a time in radio when sports was relegated to just a minute or so of the 5 or 6 o'clock news. You know, like the weather report.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little younger than you, so I don't really,
Well, that was back in the day when radio stations were formatted to entertain an audience.
I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah, and neither do we.
Yeah.
But in terms of sports, I mean, now we're blessed.
Yes, very blessed.
So, how's the kids?
I ain't got no kids that I'm aware of.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
If I do, the bitches haven't told me.
Hey, listen, I gotta use the toilet for a minute. You mind holding on?
No, not at all.
Thanks. You're what we call in the business a holdover. Yeah, I guess holdover. So you won't mind if I... Okay, I'll be right back.
We'll be back with more of the Neil Rogers Show after part two of our Sport Homo Rejoin on 560 QAM.
I do the wave.
Still there?
Yeah.
You know, outside of sports, there's really nothing else going on.
Yeah, I mean, no. Nothing else exists outside our box.
I mean, nothing. Nothing else should be of any concern.
Yeah.
It's comfy here inside our little box.
Yeah, it is. But I have to admit, I still have my Sarah Paulson poster.
Well, that's just a girl.
Actually, she's an old white lady now.
We, really can't talk about that.
Well, I can understand that.
Yeah, yeah. So, what'd you eat this morning?
I just had me a cup of coffee.
Oh, how do you like your coffee?
A little sugar and some cream.
Yeah, got a little cream in your coffee, huh? That's a sports laugh.
Old, old laugh, that's the way we laugh. From the heart.
Yeah. Oh, I should get this.
Sure, go ahead.
Hold on a second, okay?
Okay.
Hello. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be back with more of the Neil Rogers Show after part three of our Sport Homo Rejoin on Sport Homo Radio 560 QAM.
Okay. Yeah, okay. No problem, folks. Thanks. Bye. Still there?
Yeah.
That was the coach.
Okay.
So tell me something.
Yeah.
When you say the word coach, you just can't say coach, right?
Right.
Yeah. We say coach. That's dignity and reverence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coach.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
I like some gay code to deify the position.
Yes, that's right.
Because life's all about the game, right?
It's all in the game.
I want to kiss.
Yes.
Your lips.
No. And I want to caress your fingertips.
Yeah.
You fairy.
And our hearts will fly. Away.
Okay, so that's just a pleasant reminder for Georgia when he has his lunch with Joe Bell. Tell him to cut the crap with these long, ridiculous rejoins.
It's the first item on the agenda.
Good. Not just shorten them, just get rid of them, you know? Do like a 3-second like any real radio station. Catch the Mad Dog, Jim Maddox, 2 to 4 this afternoon, weekdays, QM. That's it. 5 seconds, fans, is all we need.
Right.
Anyway, getting back to Ed Bradley, which, by the way, CNN is just, like, foaming at the mouth over this. Ed Bradley died. He was 65. He had leukemia. Died at Mount Sinai in New York.
And I hope at the end he knows that. I really hope he knew that.
He knew that. At any rate, let's see. He covered the Paris Peace Talks for CBS News. In 72, transferred to Saigon to cover the war in Vietnam. He spent time in Phnom Penh covering the war in Cambodia. You know, there was always quite a controversy about that, about how you pronounce that. Phnom Penh or Phnom Penh. But anyway, it was Phnom Penh.
Just a Phnom Penh.
While covering the war, he was injured by a mortar round. He had shrapnel wounds to his back and arm. I bet you didn't know that.
I didn't.
In 1974, Bradley moved to Washington, D.C. He covered the Carter campaign in 76. Where's the important part here? Oh, here it is. In 81, he joined the staff at 60 Minutes when Dan Rather left to replace Walter Cronkite as the anchor of the CBS Evening News. He was the first and, to date, only male correspondent to regularly wear an earring on the 60 Minutes show. He had his left ear pierced. Yeah, there are a lot of rumors about it. He had his left ear pierced in 1986 and says he was inspired to do it after receiving encouragement from somebody following an interview. I don't want to tell you her name right now, but I'll give you some clues, okay? Neurotic, can't sing,
yeah.
Mother
Streisand.
Neurotic. I beg your pardon?
Barbara
mother
Streisand.
Was neurotic, could sing.
Oh, Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli.
Very good. See, it didn't take too many hints there, too many clues.
You should have said Fag Hag. I would have got it right away.
There, no, you would have said Liz Taylor.
Yeah, you're right.
Or Lynn Samuels. 1,415 votes on the poll. I think we got a real serious heavy-duty shot at 1,500 votes 2 days in a row on a show. That would be unbelievable, man. That would be something you can talk to Joe about. And be sure and tell him that Josh said that we're getting a real spike on there in the midday on the QAM website. A lot of people listening online even on that website. Forget about the zillions who are listening on NeilRogers.com, or at least over 1,000 every day. You know, we had over 1,300 yesterday. Now, that may not like sound like all that much, especially when you consider that some of the people even in South Florida listen online because their radio reception inside, like if they're in a building, it sucks. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
So thank God that we're streaming it. That's what I'm saying. Keep streaming it. And, of course, every time I say that, then within minutes we have technical problems and the thing goes down. You know, that's the way it works. That's the way it is when the engineering department hates your show, you know, and other people in the building. So I looked at the CBS website, figuring out, I wanted to see what they were saying about Ed Bradley dying since he worked for them for about 100 years, and I found nothing. I found something, but not connected with Ed Bradley. Don't you find that a little bit unacceptable?
Okay.
Well, let me just do CBS News. One moment, please. I mean, I can't believe that. I did find a fairly interesting story about CBS's hunting for the next you.
Cube.
That's kind of an interesting story, which I'll get to in a minute. But let me just see. CBS News, breaking news headlines from my video from CBS News. I'm clicking on it. Oh, server couldn't be found. Try again. I don't want to try again. I want it now, you idiots. Jesus, God almighty. And you want to know why, don't you?
Why?
Because probably everybody in the world is looking up.
That's right.
Look at that. Oh, here it is, finally, the second story. New CBS doctor show, 3 pounds weighs in. That's their lead story. That goes to show you, after all those years of working his ass off on all those stories and risking his life in Vietnam and Iraq and everywhere, and this is what Ed Bradley gets is like the second story underneath some stupid-ass show, and it's like it's a short story. Oh, there's Jim Webb, the next senator from Virginia.
34 localities have reported back to the states the results of their canvass, and Jim Webb's lead in this race has grown to 8,805 votes. Because the margin is so wide, Republican sources close to George Allen say that Republican leaders in the campaign and in the Congress have recommended to him that perhaps this is the time to concede.
Throw in the towel, Mikakowicz. Okay, you're done. You're finished. You've had it. Okay? Go scream the N-word all up and down the hood. CBS is looking to buy the next U.
Cube.
Just which site that'll be is the billion-dollar question. The frontrunners could be Blinks, which boasts 6 million hours of video, Blip TV, Blip.TV, or VHO. Also, there's a startup called the Venice Project, which could launch before the end of this year. You realize we've only, well, I'm sure you do, but I mean, the average person out there doesn't stop and think about it. We've only scratched the tip of the iceberg on the internet.
That's right.
Leslie Moonves of CBS Chief Executive says they have plans to buy the next video sharing site. They have hired investment banker Quincy Smith to find the next
YouTube.
In an L.A. Times article, Smith said, I appreciate the pressure. The company's named him president of their new interactive division. And now that we have Josh's mother as head of the Beasley interactive division, wow, God only knows what kind of crap we're going to come up with. According to the Times article, CBS has $3 billion to burn to try to make a move on the digital media front. They have $3 billion to burn. We'd like to burn some of that. George would like to burn some of it in his bond.
Right now.
The buzz surrounding the next trend in digital media is sites that will team with legitimate media to create the next big video giant. Didn't make any sense. There's like a word missing in there. But what do you expect from these people? The days of video piracy are on their way out. This commercialization of web video will be great for big business, but may not be so great for viewers who don't want to watch more ads. Media companies like CBS are eager to find internet assets that will be good for them in the long term. As more and more advertising dollars are moving away from TV and radio to the internet world, the more valuable video sites will become. In an interview with Mike Hudak from Blip.TV, he told WebPro News that he saw video content changing from what YouTube does to more sites offering episodic original content, which is what Blip.TV does now. He didn't think any company out there would want to go through the legal issue of copyright infringement like Google's encountered with their purchase of
YouTube.
See, the only reason I read that story is so I could play
Cube.
That a lot, because I saw that was in there.
Sure.
It was moderately interesting, but it had
Cube.
A lot, and the audience likes hearing
Cube.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they do. It's right up their alley.
I like it.
1,425 votes on the poll. I think we got a real serious shot at the 1,500 number today, 1,427. And it's not really a very, exciting poll. How satisfied are you with the election results? I'm ecstatic, 451. I'm happy, 437. I'm squeezing myself, 326. I don't care, 105. They still refuse to care. I'm not happy, 63. I'm suicidal, 29, and they're still voting on that. Too bad they haven't blown their brains out yet. Well, that's right, they don't have any. And I hate this poll. Only 16, only 1.1%. Boy, a 1-1. There's some people who would be dying to get to a 1-1, you know what?
Yeah, well, you're bad.
I am so bad. You know what inspired me to do that, to say that? That. You know, when you're really hurting, man, when you're really trolling for an audience out there and you want to build up some listenership and get some word-of-mouth promotion going and say, hey, that was really a great show. You hear a so-and-so, and then you put, You know, it's like shooting yourself in the foot and the ass. Speaking of feet, treat your feet like they're a part of your body. Actually, your feet are probably one of the most important parts of your body. and Brandy's will take good care of your tootsies. They carry all the top brands in the shoe business. Florsheim, Echo, Mephisto, Rockport, Hush Puppies, New Balance, which I absolutely love. Let me say it again.
Absolutely.
Love. And tons of other name brands in all sizes for men and women. And at Brandy's, they even carry your wide widths and hard-to-find sizes if you've got really very bizarre feet. And believe me, I'm sure a lot of you do. Brandy Shoes is the largest independent shoe retailer in South Florida, and when you see the selection and value you get at Brandy's and the great personal service they give you, you'll understand why I've raved about them for years. Go see our good buddy Arnie. He'll make sure you get the right fitting shoes for your feet at the right price every time. Brandy Shoes, they're located at 1290 North Federal Highway in Pompano Beach, right between Atlantic and Copens Roads on the east side. Can't miss it. Open Monday through Saturday till 9, and even every Sunday till 5. And this week is a stupendous, a smart time to buy floor shines at Brandy's. Save 10 to 20 bucks a pair. So be sure to get your butt into Brandy's this week, or just do your shoe shopping right there on their website at brandyshoes.com.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Only in the Banana Republic, baby. Only in Miami.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this question. Maybe I'm stupid. I keep thinking of Fat Rich, you know, dying at the track at Pompano Park. What was that, about a year ago?
Thereabouts.
But when you die, and I've heard this, and I really don't know, and I don't want to think too much about it because it's not very serious.
No,
but your body's
I've heard the same thing, yes.
Yeah, your body releases all of its...
You relax.
Right.
As they say.
So how can you have clean underwears?
Well, that's a good point.
Well, anyway, it's a cute bit. It's exactly what you'd expect. 20 past 1 at 560 WQAM. 1,447 votes. We're going to make 1,500 2 days in a row on the show. How do you like that? I bet you people in the radio business from coast to coast and pillar to post, all the way out to Hawaii and as far north as Alaska and the ships at sea, are going to be talking about this. It'll be on the front page of the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Canandaigua Daily Messenger. You'll see. And we've got more good news for you. Conrad Burns has conceded.
It burns.
John Tester, the Democratic senator-elect, claimed victory yesterday, and now I stand ready to help as Montana transitions to a new U.S. Senator, Burns said in a statement released to the Associated Press just a short time ago. We fought the good fight, and we just came up a bit short, kind of like how I was born. We've had good 18 years, and I'm proud of my record, the statement continued. Burns isn't sure what his future plans are, but the Abe reports that he indicated he was looking forward to taking some time off. I hope there's still a good-sized buck out there, because I'm going hunting, Burns' statement said. Maybe you can go hunting with Dick Cheney. That'd be a good idea. You know what they say, turn around is fair play? That's what Peter Marshall used to say in the Hollywood Squares. You still don't know who Peter Marshall is, do you?
Yeah, maybe.
Well, there's John Bolton with that grotesque mustache.
Democrats in a bipartisan fashion. He was insisting on...
Oh, look at that. White House sends Bolton nomination to Senate committee. Oh, they're trying to jam it through there now, I guess, huh? Wow. At any rate, 1,454. We need 46 votes in, what do we got, 28, 38 minutes. That's just barely more than one a minute. Even some kind of a candy show could do that. Even a show that's got that on as a guest. Get him out of there. Get him out of there, man. Well, he's off to Buffalo now. The Panthers are going to get killed by the Sabres tomorrow night. I hate to say that, but it just the Sabres are a pretty damn good team. They're on fire. Panthers, on the other hand, are like hard to put a finger on it. They are India's new tax collectors, dancing and singing to the beat of drums. About 20 eunuchs in bright saris begin going from shop to shop, asking the owners to pay overdue municipal taxes in Patna, the capital of Bihar, one of India's most impoverished and lawless states. 20 eunuchs in bright saris.
I'm sorry to hear that.
They were hired by Patna's municipal corporation yesterday after the city's tax arrears ran into the millions, said the municipal administrator, Atul Prasad. Revenue officials accompanied the eunuchs with tax records to settle the outstanding arrears on the spot. Indian rulers once castrated boys to create eunuchs to work in their harems. But eunuchs today are generally males with partial genitals or who opt for castration because of strong female feelings. They often make a living on tips for dancing at weddings and blessing newborn babies, and are believed to be stubborn and not take no for an answer. Eunuchs.
Uh-huh.
The new tax collectors met with considerable success on their first day of their new job. They collected $9,240 U.S. from shop owners, said Bharat Sharma, a revenue officer. We're confident that the reputation and persuasive skills will come in handy for the municipal authorities to collect taxes from defaulters. You go to the door, and who's standing outside? A widowed dwarf. The eunuchs are not given a salary and instead receive 4% of the amount they collect from defaulters. Only 2,000 of Patna, nearly half a million residents, regularly pay property taxes and water charges, Prasad said. Tax collection has slipped to 200 million rupees, 4.34 million a year, from the anticipated 15.2 million. The eunuchs will be asked to help collect outstanding taxes from private homes soon. And, of course, if they fail to comply, somebody will probably finish the job on the partial eunuchs. Oh, there's the pissed-off caveman.
I know.
So easy, even a caveman can do it.
And everywhere I go, there's always something to learn.
Yeah, he sure got a rough life, man, a caveman. He's always PO'd, you know, pissed off and fired up. Too bad. He's got a crappy altitude. Although he did, learn to stand upright and invent the wheel. Well, isn't that good?
Sorry I couldn't get that to you sooner.
Yeah, bastard. Nothing worse than a caveman with a really crappy attitude. 1,459 votes on the poll. I bet if I refresh it, we can get over 1,460. Wow. That would be a real feather in our cap. We're so well on our way to 1,500. And see, Josh is telling me, oh, don't go for 15. You'll never make it, fatso. Isn't that what he said?
Twice.
No, he actually gave me that good news this morning. That was extraordinarily, uplifting and exciting. How do I know? You won't give me any number because it's too embarrassing to tell me how many people actually are listening online. You can probably got the stats page right there, don't you?
He looks at it all day long.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, listen, you just took over that thing again. You retook it over, QM.com. That website was allowed to go into, we have 1,460 votes on our poll right now. That's more people than have gone to QM.com since they started the website. Wouldn't surprise me. Oh, sorry, Clarence.
The biggest names, the best talent. This is Neil Rogers, Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Beware of exploding balls.
You've seen him on Channel 7 News. First as a two-bit reporter. Now as a two-bit anchor that wears more makeup than Tammy Faye Baker and Mary Kay combined. Rick Sanchez sings. Hear the dulcet tones of the man who brought you Crime Check, Rick Sanchez. Rick Sanchez. Rick Sanchez sings.
Give me a home with a black man around and the sea of the
earth. Don't miss Rick Sanchez in his Pasty Face Tour over Hialeah. It's one show you won't want to miss. Steak for a good one.
A one in a million.
Rick Sanchez, he loves his audience.
I accept you as a precious gift from God.
Of course he meant.
Damn, God!
1,471 votes, we got 28 minutes to go. We'll get that 1,500, we're going to lick it. Speaking of one in a million, what about Gildy? He's about one in 6 billion, wouldn't you think?
So speaking of that.
Yes?
Thanksgiving, we're all off the hook. There's a Dolphins pregame going on.
All right.
During the show, and you're invited to participate if you would like to. That was a little joke on Josh's part, I'm sure.
I'll be at Woodbine that day because it's not a holiday here, so it won't be jam-packed like on Canadian Thanksgiving
because
people have to work here. It's not any kind of holiday. I won't be working that day, though, and will not be participating in the Dolphins' the best pregame show. You know what really frosts me, among other things, about CNN? Many things, but when Wolf Blitzkrieg gets on there, it says, they're all part of the best political team, and all that crap he does. Now, the last time they said that was on Crossfire, the best little political briefing, and of course, that's off the air. So we can only hope that the rest of CNN follows right in their footsteps, except, of course, for Candy Cowley and our good friend Susan Candiotti.
Right.
Of course, it would take 10 of Susan's to make one of Candy, but nevertheless.
Gee, how you have to chop her up to do that?
That's a lot of candy. Oh, there's, look at that. Godly men appointed to oversee Hagrid's restoration.
I think there are a couple of things that need to be done. First of all, the people who
chop his balls off
have to know him. When I entered into a relationship with President Clinton, it wasn't out of the blue. We had an ongoing relationship. We were friends. And so there was an ability to kind of get beyond those initial presentations of self where it's so easy to snow somebody. And a lot of counseling, the person being counseled is able to snow the people.
Yeah, I tell you one thing. When it comes to snow, the Bush crowd, they know that the white powder. John Kimberlin hopes to light a fire under his idea of using manure to produce heat and electricity. This is in Waukee, Iowa. Weren't we just talking about Iowa this morning?
Yes, we were.
I'll be damned. See what
interested.
I always told you? What comes around goes around. So we're off on Thanksgiving Day, Josh.
Oh!
And George is off. He's off that week. And what about the day after, Friday?
I think that's the school day.
What does that mean?
That you got to go to school.
Oh. Kimberlin of Waukee, Iowa, believes he has perfected a small-scale furnace that can be used on farms, at racetracks, or anywhere else livestock waste piles up, like at QAM. There's a lot of crap all over that place. And across the street, you can only imagine it. You know what Stu Gotts told me? He said that place is 100%
crap.
That's what he told me. Not. I wonder if Clarence is still busy booking guests for Stu Gotts for the La Bastard show over there. Investors have worked to turn manure and biomass into energy, and scientists say it could make Iowa a major producer of power because they're full of crap in Iowa. The state produces enough manure to power 325,000 homes, according to estimates from the Iowa Department of Natural Resources. There also are tax incentives that encourage the development of methane digesters to create electricity and control odor. Ugh. Kimberlin said he came up with the idea of building a manure furnace. I tell you, on real hot days during this past summer, when I'd be going out to Woodbine, my cab guy would, roll the window down. I don't know why, because he's too cheap to run the AC. But and as you're pulling in, where the stables are at Woodbine.
What about him?
You see where I'm going?
To the stables?
Yeah. On a really hot summer's day, man, could just knock you right off your ass. Anyway, Kimberlin said he came up with the idea of building a manure furnace from the tons of horse manure he had on his farm west of Des Moines. He needed to find some way to get rid of it. He said he couldn't spread it on land without contaminating the water, and hauling it away would be too expensive. Kimberlin did some small experiments and spent time at the Iowa State University Library researching his idea. He eventually received a patent and found some investors.
Huh.
How'd you like to invest in some good crap?
Sure.
They formed a company called Nature's Furnace, Inc., and are planning to make and sell several different kinds of furnaces, probably using several different kinds of manure. Kimberlin said the company wants to keep the size of the furnaces small so they can be portable. He also said the furnaces will be marketed across the country and overseas will be produced locally. We want to build them right here to bring the employment here. I guess if you want to, keep them constantly, motorized, just to squat on it.
That's a good idea.
Not the way to do it? Just in case you run a little short on your supply. Of course, in this business, we never run, especially on this show, we never run short on our supply of crap.
Unlimited.
That's why I've been so successful, boy. When you're full of crap, it just rolls out easy, man.
You could light up the world if they just stuck a tube up to your ass.
1,479 votes in the poll. We got 23 minutes for 21 votes. Even the skeptics out there are saying, holy crap, the old man's going to do it again. And, of course, as the number on the poll rises, that means that our listenership is just staggering. If Josh weren't so embarrassed, he'd tell you about the 82 trillion people listening on WQM.com to this show right now. At least maybe.
About 30, man.
Probably not that many. Now, do you have, like, a stats page on there like we do on our website?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, and pretty embarrassing, huh? But you don't have to give out any inside information. That would be bad. That would put you in a real, you know.
Well, it's classified. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
Classify my ass.
That ought to be.
As in big and fat.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a big
classified
ad.
Information. Boy, you are a real panic.
How many lines do I have to buy to that to classify your ass? Full page?
Yeah.
Two pages.
Probably the whole
spread.
Book. Whole telephone book, yeah. 1,481, man. See, I don't know. I never really thought we should shoot for it. We didn't. We didn't even beg. We didn't plead. We didn't have to get up on our hind legs and say, oh, please vote on our poll today. It's not very exciting. Maybe I'll come up with a good one for tomorrow, or maybe not. Maybe I'll go back and use an old one. We don't have any polls. Sean, after a really good batch last time, Sean sent us a good batch. Oh, you know what I need to mention again before we do the break?
That.
As a public service, BSO deputies will be conducting DUI saturation patrols tomorrow. Friday, November 10, from approximately 8:30 tomorrow night till 5 o'clock Saturday morning in the areas of Deerfield Beach, Pompano Beach, and Oakland Park, and then again Saturday night, November 11, from approximately 8:30 p.m. till 5 a.m. And the following morning, Sunday morning, in the that's not very specific to me. The following morning, does that mean Sunday morning or Monday morning?
If you don't understand it.
Saturday, November 11th, from 8:30 p.m. to 5 a.m. The following morning, I see.
Okay.
In areas of unincorporated Central Broward, Pompano Beach, and Oakland Park. Just bad reading on my part. Well, after you read 50,000 stories for crying out loud, how long can you keep this up? As long as I feel like it. I think it's quite a story. Now, I did this 7 months before one time, remember, when I shut the phones down? Now, we did take a call a week or two ago. Remember that call?
No.
That was it. Anyway, it says this information is published in compliance with a Supreme Court ruling mandating prior announcement of selective enforcement activities. They're going to be checking your breath, your DUI, your the whole thing. They're going to be taking a look inside.
You've
got a long
tube.
They'll be looking in there to see who's been naughty and nice. So we just passed that along. And don't let me forget tomorrow again, too.
All right.
Before the weekend.
Don't forget.
Of course, tomorrow you'll be your blood sugar is going to be so high, you probably won't be either one of you. Won't be trustworthy to get it all, you know, all the information. Because you got all that ice cream coming from Jackson's again and those foot-long weenies, too. Now, can you imagine if I was there and Joe Bell's giving me the song to dance about, oh, you're not going to stop it and see us? No, I'm not. Be sure and pass that along to him, okay? That he will never lay his eyes on me as long as he lives and I live.
I will.
Not that there aren't people that I miss seeing there like you guys, but not that much.
No, I understand.
I know what you
mean. We have your picture.
Like.
I remember.
Yeah, that's right. I still look the same except with a real short hair, you know. Fat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 94.6 this morning.
Oh, you don't say that.
Oh, jeez.
What?
You're
gonna have
to admit
it. 194.6. And you know something? That's less than yesterday.
The biggest names. Woo! The best talent. This is Neil Rogers. Sports Radio 560 QAM.
Here's I'll Show You Mine.
Tonight on NBC. Right after Fear Factor. It's the Eating Gross Thing Show. Oh, that is gross. The Eating Gross Things Show. Join host Joe Rogan as he coerces ordinary people into devouring disgusting delicacies for cash and prizes.
All right, the first item on the menu is something I scooped out of my cat's litter box. Come on, guys, don't be wusses, man. Think of it as a granola bar that's still warm.
Yeah!
Come on!
Yes, we've taken the most revolting part of Fear Factor and made it into a revolting weekly series. The Eating Gross Things Show.
Okay, you power down the cat crap. Now it's time for the second course. Take a look at this.
Ah! Yeah! Oh, what the hell is that?
Dude, haven't you ever seen boiled monkey colon before?
Ah! Just one taste and you'll be hooked on the Eating Gross Things Show.
All right, only two of you left. Time to eat what's on this plate.
But there's nothing on that plate, Joe.
Not for long.
Oh, for the love of God, Joe!
Bon appetit!
The Eating Gross Thing Show. Because there's no shortage of idiots out there willing to do anything to be on TV.
Bon appetit, 145. Ed Bradley, by the way, was divorced from his first wife, and he was married to Patricia Blanchett at the time of his death. I just mentioned that in passing.
Oh, okay.
The city of Los Angeles, speaking of eating gross things, is paying $2.7 million to settle a lawsuit from a black firefighter who claims he suffered racial discrimination after co-workers served him spaghetti laced with dog food.
What brand?
We'll get to it. I don't think it says, though. The L.A. City Council approved the award yesterday, 11-1. $2.7 million. Wouldn't you eat a little dog food, some Alpo in your spaghetti for $2.7 million?
I'd eat a whole sack.
Can. In his lawsuit, firefighter Tenny Pierce, 51, said he took a bite after he took a bite of the meal 2 years ago. He noticed the other firefighters laughing their asses off. He demanded to know what was in the food after a second bite, but nobody answered. They were all mum. Police, Pierce said he suffered retaliation for reporting the incident and verbal slurs, insults, and derogatory remarks, including taunting by firefighters. I didn't say what you thought I did,
no,
but
you
I came close. Firefighters barking like dogs and asking him how dog food tasted, lawsuit said. You never saw any firefighters? David Wellman, professor at the University of California, Santa Cruz, hired by Pierce's attorney, said the association of a black man and dog food resonates with the deep historical roots of slavery and the corresponding dehumanization. It's not just silly stuff. It's racially motivated, he said. I never really thought about that. I never thought that black folks are supposed to. I thought that old people who eat out of like garbage cans that eat by dog
sure,
food.
Sure, poor people, white trash.
There you go. As part of the settlement, the two captains involved were given 1 month off without pay, and a firefighter was ordered off work for 3 days without pay. I truly hope that my case will make a difference for African Americans in the L.A. Fire Department, Pierce said in a statement, and they won't be eating no Alpo no more. It doesn't say what brand. That takes a good part of the fun out of it, for crying out loud.
I went camping and somebody did that act.
What did?
The firefighting.
1,506 votes on the poll. Wow. You see, you probably thought we did over 15 yesterday because it was like the day after Election Day and everybody was all whipped up about the results and, you know, what I was going to say about it and whatever, you know? Wrong.
Right.
Wrong. Maybe they were. I don't know. Maybe there's still a carryover because our poll is about that. To be very honest with you, we don't really care what the topic of the poll is or what the result is either. Just we get a lot of votes, okay, to make us feel good. Like it was really worthwhile showing up today. Isn't that how you feel about it?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Not really.
Well, I'm sure Jones is for more of that low-carb pasta. But I'm not gonna, better not do it, though. I'm telling you, it's a bad combination with me. It's spaghetti and ice cream.
Well, don't eat them together.
I always do.
Although.
Turn in those ubiquitous campaign signs and get some free food. See, now we're getting food intensive now that I'm getting ready to get off the air here. Food intensive. That's the message from Southeast restaurant chain Sticky Fingers, which I never heard of in my life. Do you ever hear of Sticky Fingers?
Not the restaurant, no.
Which is offering a free appetizer to anyone who cleans up the campaign clutter and brings in a campaign sign. Just think of all those leftover campaign signs as oversized roadside gift certificates at Sticky Fingers co-owner Jeff Goldstein, or Steen, or Stein. It's an easy way to help take care of our neighborhoods. The Charleston-based ribs restaurant will offer coupons for a free appetizer through next Wednesday. The chain operates 17 restaurants in the Carolinas, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida. Although I have a feeling that probably Sticky Fingers ain't in South Florida because I ain't never heard of it, and you ain't never heard of it. Josh, you ever heard of Sticky Fingers, the food joint?
No.
And if we ain't never heard of it, then how could it possibly? Well, there's a lot of places right. That you know don't come to South Florida.
I mean, I often encounter Sticky Fingers, but not the rest of
it. Yeah, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to hear about it. You talk to Joe about it.
I will.
1,513 votes. In fact, when you have lunch today, you might want to ask Joe about his organ problem.
I'll let him smell my fingers, too.
Oh, jeez. And he'll let you smell his organ.
All right.
A new synagogue has been opened at the heart of the German city of Munich, 68 years after Nazi dictator Adolf Hitler ordered its predecessor torn down. The sacred Jewish scrolls of the Torah were paraded through the streets to the Cubic building in the city center. Or is that Cubic? Munich. Never been there. München. Well, I sure love Germany, man. Do I have to tell you again how much I love Germany, especially Berlin and Cologne? The new synagogue is seen not so much Hamburg and much less Frankfurt. Frankfurt's like going to Morocco. It's just not good. The new synagogue is seen as a symbol of the rebirth of Munich's Jewish community, which was all but wiped out by the Nazis in WWII. The ceremony comes 68 years after the Nazi Kristallnacht anti-Jew pogrom. Kristallnacht, Night of Broken Glass, was a nationwide wave of assaults on Jews and their property in Germany that preceded the Holocaust for those of you with short memories, bad knowledge of history, or just stupid. German President Horst Kohler was among hundreds of officials and religious leaders at the synagogue inauguration on Thursday, today. The synagogue bears the name of its predecessor, Ohel Jacob, Jacob's Tent.
Oh, hell.
Boy, I wonder whatever happened to my friend Jacob. Hey, Jacob! Construction of the synagogue, along with a Jewish community center and museum, cost 71.5 euros. Oh, 0.1 million, I'm sorry. I thought, boy, they sure built that on the cheap. $91.4 million. Some 9,300 Jews now live in Munich, the country's second-largest Jewish community. At the ceremony, President Kohler warned that still today, our dream of a normal Jewish life in Germany clashes with the reality that there's open and latent anti-Semitism and that the number of violent acts motivated by right-wing extremism is rising. It is the duty of all of us to get involved and act to prevent the people being abused, injured, even murdered due to their religion, origin, or appearance, he said, quoted by Reuters news agency. Unless they're like a little dwarf, then it's okay, you know? Those little eunuchs. Who's Tiffany Eunuch?
Tiffany Eunuch?
Yeah. Wasn't there somebody in... Huh?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Like somebody that got killed or something, I'm thinking.
Get out of here.
You're a crazy person. Let me.
I don't know if it was Tiffany, though.
I'm Googling that man.
All right.
Somebody famous that we should know right off the bat. Did you mean Tiffany Eunuch? I spelled it wrong. Oh, that was the girl that was beaten to death by, Lionel Tate.
There you go. See? Told you.
In fact, there's a website in honor of Tiffany Eunuch, who was beaten senseless and to a bloody point. Well, he was just wrestling, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Sack of crap.
He just wrestling. Well, that's, you know, the way it goes. Now, this next, our last commercial break of the day should be a real good lesson on length of listenership to a Clarence and the entire audience out there. When you have lunch with Joe today, tell him what I'm thinking is if they can start selling 5 and 10 second spots, we can do, speaking of Unix, we can do like 100 units in each break.
That's a good plan.
I mean, it'll still be the same length of time, but by the time we finish, the audience will be like in a coma.
The
passed out on the floor.
The best talent. This is Neil Rogers.
And we'll be with you no more.
560 QAM.
It's day of Miami Town.
All right.
At 560 WQAM.
Well, we were out on our first date after eating at a Mexican cafe. While we were driving in my car, she let one go that almost blew us both away. I asked her, "Did you cut the cheese?" Then she turned around to look at me and said, "Girl, don't cut." Girls don't fart, but I do. The odor permeated through my clothes and in my hair. And so I rolled the windows down so I could get some air. It smelled like something died in there. Girls don't fart. Girls don't fart. She kept on telling me that girls don't fart, but I do. I heard another deadly squirt. Then I held my nose and covered it with my shirt. I turned around to get her back, with just a matter of time before another attack.
So I asked if she was okay. Then she looked at me, and all she had to say was, "Girls don't fart. Girls don't fart." She kept on girls don't fart, but I do. Girls don't fart. Girls don't fart. She kept on telling me that girls don't fart, but I do.
Absolutely.